This is Hugh Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I turned every mic off and then turned them up, and then I had them still off. So now I've got them on.
Okay.
Holy crap. It's 7:01. Good evening. It's the show. We are live coming to you from Studio C in what we know as Central Phoenix. I hope that's how you know it. Why is it? For some reason, I have forgotten how to take... the camera shot. Something. Something's happening. Boom.
And hit.
What in the hell have I done?
Hit record.
Oh, I've already done that. I got that part down. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I got to figure out why I can't.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome, everyone.
Katie, June, Al Perkins, talk amongst yourselves.
To all of the listeners, the viewers who can't quite see us yet.
As I try to open up a beautiful bottle of...
And the ship's at sea.
Now I figured out how we do it. You have to take something off in order to put something on. I think we've all experienced that somewhere in life, somewhere along the way. Somehow. Yeah. What are you opening? My God, Al, you're having a challenge with this cork.
I usually don't do this sitting down. I think my microphone's too low, or am I not talking in the right spot?
You're not...
It could be that.
Try now, sir.
Is that better?
Oh, there much we go. Better.
So it was really just Katie talking.
Oh, we can hear you. Deaf people can hear you.
Yeah, I know.
That is a good point.
As Al attempts to open a bottle of wine, Katie is resorting to using her only device that has a charge this evening, which is her phone. Every time we say Google it, it's going to be a smaller version of Google.
It will. But I'm very proficient.
Oh, I'm sure.
With the iPhone. I am on it. You know, I heard a study that... The average person spends, I think it was 2.5 hours per day on their cell phone, like actually engaging on their cell phone.
In some capacity. Right,
talking.
Right. Sure.
I have to be triple to quadruple that number, which is the pits because I have a family and friends and other things, but I'm addicted.
It's how you keep up with family and friends.
Honest to God, I'm really, truly, I think I'm addicted to my phone.
Probably so.
Yeah.
To a point. I mean, because
I need a 12-step.
Knowledge is power. So you're always looking for that.
That and Candy Crush.
I like to disguise it as knowledge is power, too.
I mean, Candy, you're sucked into that.
I'm a Candy Crusher.
I'm afraid my mom is. And I don't know this for a fact, and Mom, you can feel free to join us in the chat room and let me know that I'm wrong. I saw the icon on her phone or pad. I forget what it was. And I'm like, I didn't even ask about it. Like, please.
It's like an addiction. If you have the icon, you have the drug.
I've not ever touched it.
I have seen them go down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not my deal.
Kevin Dasso and our friend Jim and just nuts. No. Like, to the point where they, like, while we were at a restaurant ordering food, it's what the waitress and the two of them were talking about. So our service was interrupted by, like, 15 minutes because they were into it conversation.
Like, they're trading secrets about, like, how to beat certain levels.
I don't understand that.
It's really embarrassing, actually.
Marnie.
Hi, Marn. It's really horrible. Now, I think we've talked about this before, that I am not the person that's ever going to... I'm not going to invite you on Facebook to play, because that just is sinking to a whole new level that I will not allow myself to reach.
If you don't invite us, Facebook itself invites us.
Yeah.
Oh, like every third day. I think I finally had to block it.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I am hooked. So, yeah, I've got the phone, no computer tonight, but we're here.
I think you'll make it. I think you'll be good.
I think I'll live.
I'm sure you will somehow. Marn!
Hi!
You just flew in from Midwest somewhere?
Yeah, that damn Allegiant Airlines.
Oh, is that why you were delayed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize. We were just talking about that moments ago, that you came back a day later than you'd planned.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it wasn't, and that was not intentional. You weren't like, I'm having such a great time, I'm going to stay another day.
Allegiant grounded at one point, I read like 22 out of 30,
because
but then
the emergency shoots, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Emergency
yeah.
slides, I guess you should
so
say.
So I was okay with that.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
Fix your business.
That's right.
Then let's launch this bird.
Yeah.
And maybe put me on another airline if you have to ground all of them.
Yeah.
That's a little disconcerting, but it was good.
Really good.
But every plane is out of the sky.
But a lot of times they're at the wrong airport to put you in another plane.
Right.
Is the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're at a smaller regional.
Yeah, usually.
Exactly. Where do you actually fly in and out
Mesa,
of for that? No, back home.
Oh,
back there.
Springfield.
Oh, you do go north of Branson by an hour to Springfield. Got it.
It's really beautiful.
It's beautiful country. You can't deny. I mean, it's just like, you know, where he's from, the fall colors and everything is gorgeous and all, but get out before winter hits.
Because I was hanging out with people because Jason's from Seneca Falls. If you know, I mean, as far as that familiarity, and there was this gal named Katie that was there.
Oh, you can't escape her.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't get away from it. Hi.
Like a rash.
I know. But we were talking about the
Your favorite kind.
I said, if I were to say Finger Lakes to you, what does that mean? And she went, oh my God, and started naming them and blah. And I thought, well.
Well, Seneca Falls is the Finger Lakes. That's...
But as far as like just the whole area going and on as far as being able to kind of put it together, I said, well, I know. I've heard all about it. So. From Mr. Perkins.
It was interesting to look and see your postings. We're actually more Jason's postings than yours. There's one picture where you notably had a forced smile. There's one that I noticed. Now, maybe they all haven't been put. Yeah, I'll point that one out to you later because I'm like, everybody looks happy. And Marnie looks like, if I don't look happy, they'll kill me, is what it looked like.
That could very well have been.
It's what it was. That's what it looked like to me.
And nice enough weather for boating.
Oh, yeah, it was gorgeous. The pictures.
I saw a couple pictures on your Facebook page that were so beautiful. Yeah. And I had to remind myself, I'm like, where is she again? And then Branson. And I love it there.
Branson, actually, you're on Table Rock Lake. Which is the lake I spent many, many hours. And actually, that's the first, if I'm not mistaken, that's the first place I ever learned to water ski, and I can only ski.
Really afraid of where that sentence was going.
I know.
There's grunge fuck stories.
Any involved in a lake.
Lots of stumps. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but no,
there's a lot of forest over there.
Before my fear of dark water and what you can't see through came when I was much younger, I was, we'd spend many a day down there.
Okay.
By any chance, do you remember any docks that you were nearby?
Yeah, we truly went like all over the pontoon.
Is there one down there that's still called Big M Boat Dock?
I totally would have taken a picture by that.
Okay.
I would have been like, hey.
Yeah, because that's the name of the dock we used to go to. And I remember, as a kid, you wake up and you could smell as you walk towards the dock. Because on a Saturday morning as a child, you want to get up at 6 a.m. because, that's what you do.
Right.
And smelling the breakfast that was cooking from the little tragic grill that was within the dock just those smells of. So I was thinking a lot about when you were at Table Rock Lake in Southwest Missouri.
It was one of the, like going out on the boat and just riding on the pontoon, just sitting there in the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
God, I want to be with you.
The fresh air was just too much for me.
And I'm sure by now color's changing all around the lake.
A little bit. So I was
the very start, right? Like
into
October.
If there was a disappointment, it was that it wasn't because of all the trees. I mean, just and all of that whole area.
It's still a little early for that.
But for back east, though, it's already turning.
It was still early because nothing had turned yet in Philadelphia.
Oh, I thought I saw somebody post another something. Week.
There was there was like a hint of red, a hint of yellow here or there, but predominantly green trees. Yeah.
But they have, and I'm going to get this wrong. I heard it enough, but when people build and then all the way down to the lake, they cut all the trees down, right?
Okay.
Because they want to be able to see the lake,
right?
Well, the some kind of guard came in and has Corps taken it over.
Corps of Engineers?
I feel like merchant something. I don't know. But whatever I heard.
The merchant army.
Anyway, something.
Jonathan Cain's in charge of them.
Of course he is.
They came in and they said, you can't cut them down. You can't cut any trees down. So when you look, like all of the pictures that I have, you have to really look. And there are houses hidden in there.
Right.
And it just, I thought, thank God.
Well, it's probably for
the
soil erosion. If they start getting rid of the trees and the brush, then stuff will just start to really, as it rains.
I don't think so. My understanding was to keep the beauty of...
Oh, both
and
are
keep
fine.
It pristine, yeah. Absolutely. But keep it pristine, like there was a time when they could keep putting in docks, the boat docks, and they said, nope, we're done with that.
Otherwise, there'd be a boat slip every 4 feet.
Then they should,
little moratorium.
The only because I'm not a... Well, I don't know if y'all picked up. Not super outdoorsy. And Not super outdoorsy.
A little.
Well, maybe skosh. But anything that moves faster than me, well, not so good. I don't... I try to handle it well.
Most everything, then?
Just about everything. Huh? Yeah. There were some squirrels back when they were real cute, but they were at a distance. And so they were telling me about these black snakes, that they have black snakes back there.
Back home. Back snakes. Yep.
Good Lord.
Right.
And a snake liker.
Yeah.
Snake-like, not lover. Snake-liker.
Yeah. Liker.
But that
Wrap
sounds... real scary.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Yeah.
Snake-a-file.
So anyway, the main thing
of many
was
different types of snakes.
The last day... Meaning the extra day.
Mm-hmm.
Jason's mom
we'll call
says
it a bonus day.
The bonus day.
Yes.
Jason's mom says, "Let's go out on the." They have two kayaks, and so Jason and Danielle got in the little kayaks, and they're kayaking. And she and I got into a canoe.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, and these are things I don't normally wouldn't do. Well, last time I did, I was 19, and the person that was in there, God bless her, Paula Chaplin, she was on acid. And
so, God bless her.
So I didn't, oh, and I didn't have a clue, so we just kept going in a circle.
Oh, my God, Marnie, that's amazing.
So Jason's mom was not on acid, I don't think. And so when we're...
we're drug testing her now.
We are. Right.
Results
in the middle
pending.
Of that. Mm-hmm. And we're out there, and they had said, you know, here are the black snakes, and here's this. Well, you know, the canoe, little point.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And then up here is like a place for water to fill, I guess. But it doesn't do anything. It's just the little triangle point.
Okay.
And so I'm up front because the steerer's in the back. That shouldn't be me. And I'm sitting there and I'm doing my little, look at how fun this is. And from the land
so
of sky
outdoorsy.
Blue water.
Yeah.
Or greenish, whatever.
Yeah.
And I look down, just not like look down, but just, you know, your vision, glance.
Yeah. Something moving?
Well, yeah, it did. And there was like a blackish rope to tie the
canoe,
again.
Right?
But this did not, that rope stayed still.
Oh,
the rope stayed
moving.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
As ropes will do.
They should.
Yes.
As they should.
Yeah. Ropes aren't
and,
all
and
ropes.
So, you know, I'm doing this and all of a sudden I see,
oh my gosh.
Paddle, 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 paddle.
Here's the thing. Here's the best part of it. And I feel like I really made strides because we did not tip over.
Yeah, that's a good.
Because normally I'm going to be like, oh my God.
You're going to jump out.
Quite
swim
frankly,
to shore.
It was because of the dark waters and I can't see what's in it.
Okay. So you, it's either,
I'm with you.
You can see the evil that's here. You don't know what evil's in there. I understand.
And I go in there, there's a lot more evil.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
Apparently zombies, because these two will talk about that
apparently.
In a minute, I'm sure.
My feet went straight up and I got really high pitched voice. And. Was like, I'm fine.
But
there's something that slithered out, and Jason's mom's just as afraid of snakes.
Oh.
And so all of a sudden she's like, all right, we're fine. And Danielle's coming over, and Jason's just laughing. And the whole thing turned out it was black. And I said, it may or may not have had legs. I don't know. I just know it moved really fast underneath me. And all it was, doesn't matter. Things still should be dead, is a salamander.
Okay.
It was, but it was black.
Yeah.
And it
still
did
scary and big
fast.
Fish. Yeah.
Oh, well.
So now,
and it came out of nowhere, you know.
So now, living in the desert, as we are apt to do here in Phoenix, now, oftentimes you'll find there are those little, I was going to call it a lizard, but
geckos.
They're all over
chameleons.
The place. Now,
there was one on my fireplace this morning, walking out the door.
They walk up up walls, then by pools, everywhere. So do you lose your cookies when even those?
It depends. Yes. Yes, to a degree. I mean, if I see them outside and I see them at a distance enough, I'm okay.
Okay.
But when I was going through that time period with a lot of things just kind of jumping out at me and doing different things, I got home. And this was when I started stopped taking myself as seriously, because I knew I was afraid for a purpose before, but now I was just afraid because I thought maybe.
Uh-huh.
I get home and there was probably the biggest gecko I had ever seen right outside the house.
Their cousin, so he'd wired and said, "Hey, Ryer's coming home.
Hey, Brutus, get over there. You know, El Jefe says." And so I look up, and just as I go up to put the key in, and like right here, it just and I jumped straight up in the air and flipped all the way around, so I'm facing the street, and I'm like, "Dear God." And I just started laughing. It's probably 4 o'clock in the morning. And I am laughing so hard because all I can imagine is my neighbors. Really. Yeah. Really.
The crazy one's home.
I'm fine. That's where I started yelling. I'm fine. Everything is fine. But so it depends on the situation.
If you'd have cornered him, you could have saved 15% on your car insurance. I'm pretty sure.
Like there's a huge one that lives in my house that I can't get rid of. It's just, it's in there. It's growing.
Oh.
And then there's a baby
the
one.
The Loch Ness Perkins.
And the baby one is always in... Oh. The shower, but it only shows up in the shower the day before I go on trips, because it torments my house sitter.
Terribly afraid of geckos.
Here's the armed ex-marine. That's what he's afraid of.
Oh, this is like an alpha being afraid of a mouse.
So every time that I go, every time I come back from vacation, there's like shoe prints in my shower. So I'm like, are you showering in your shoes? Like, is your fear of this thing? Because all I do is get a magazine and like flick it across the room. That's as close as I can get. Like, I've gotten a couple out of the living room by flicking them with the magazine.
Yeah,
because I don't want to kill that. I don't know what it's going to look.
look like one today has brain injury.
Well, and they're big harmless.
One is, the big one is a good probably 4 or 5 inches now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been to your house a few times, and I've never run into any reptilian
Oh, yeah. No,
people.
It's there.
Kelly's more scared of them than I am. But like I said, when we were walking out the door this morning and we saw one right on the fireplace, it had clearly just crawled in. And our mail slot, we have one of the old mail slots that goes right through the front. And it doesn't shut all the way on the outside. And
they scurry up the walls.
Same as at my house.
And
yeah.
The
yeah.
inside, we try to keep it closed tightly. But, you know, those little fuckers are strong and they just crawl right through.
Yeah, they're like they're out there lifting twigs.
I'm honestly okay with them because they eat other stuff
they
that
eat
I don't
crickets.
Want.
That's a good thing. And
protein.
Since I've had this new pet, I have not had a cricket in my house.
Yeah, no,
they find them and eat them.
And I don't mind
perfectly
crickets.
Harmless.
Crickets are
harmless.
What scorpions eat. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so then I like geckos.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's right. The thing, they don't
until
make,
one runs across your feet.
From what I've heard before, they don't
I might
make,
scream.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm not saying I don't jump when it runs across during a horror movie.
It just
you know what
startles
I mean?
Right. You. Oh, my God. Horror startles.
Anybody could walk in your house. I mean, Ed McMahon could walk in and tell you one of the Publishers Clearinghouse, and you're going to scream bloody murder depending on the scene.
Oh, I had to run
and
my,
how well it was acted.
I had to do my semi-annual dishwasher
run
yesterday.
Ed McMahon's dead. That would scare me, probably.
And it was making this...
For those who didn't catch that, say that again.
My semi-annual dishwasher run.
Once at the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And maybe Thanksgiving.
And
maybe.
I usually have some reason to run it before Thanksgiving. And it ran an I don't know what's loose, tight, or like water challenged. But now it screams like a boiling lobster. It's hysterical. So when I ran it the second time, so now it's the triannual. It'll be quarterly if I go again.
I think every 3 months is fair.
But the second time the scream ended. So I don't know if just it was so dry that it actually hurt the washing
machine. Well, they're actually in the, and if you, I'll permit me to get technical on you for just a moment, in the base of dishwashers where, because the motor spins the pump, yada yada, there's a seal. And I believe it's a ceramic seal, but those do need to be maintained wet. So if you let it get dry, you're better off just to pour occasionally a thing of water in it just to keep it wet. You're better off.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's my public service announcement for today's listeners.
I don't have any real use for the dishwasher, but I know that to keep it up, I have to run.
I use mine all the time. I rinse stuff. I do things with it. It's great for tools and removing grease off of wrenches and stuff. I use it for all kinds of stuff.
Don't eat anything that's been in his dishwasher.
It self cleans.
That's fantastic.
There's so many things you can do with the dishwasher.
I self clean, and I'm not going to eat anything.
But you encourage others too, isn't that?
I do. As much encouragement as I can offer a young girl.
Oh, that's funny.
Very nice.
I like it. So maybe you already talked about it, but what? Philadelphia was good. I'm sorry.
Incredible. I absolutely love the city.
Yeah, it seemed like it from what I saw.
Uh-huh. Just amazed by that city. I have a friend who does recruitment for hospitals, and he's like,
I can get you.
He's like, I have a recruiter with every hospital in that city, and I'm like, all right, throw out a couple, see what comes.
Oh, wow. Fuck you!
Now, please, you know October is going to hit, and I'm going to be all over it. It was warm, beautiful, beautiful weather. It's a fantastic city and
warm. Do they have like Indian summer?
Yeah, we were Indian summer. Well, you know what? I don't think so because I don't think they'd had a full on cooled off period yet. Mm. So I think they have
still enjoying.
Yeah, no, still enjoying late summer, but they had a miserable, just like the rest of the East Coast. No one has air conditioning, and they tell
that's
you,
bad.
And they had that same heat wave that everybody else did. So it was just as miserable there as they were like in Boston and everywhere else I was.
And you probably mentioned it, but I've missed it somewhere. First time visitor, second, third.
We're gonna say it's the third time. The first time I was very young. It was sometime around the bicentennial.
Oh my God, you were 7 years old.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then I was there again with my mom at some point that I vaguely remember. It was kind of in and out, and we were probably both drinking. I don't think.
Okay.
For some reason. And then I got dropped off at the train station there from a wedding in Scranton.
Okay.
Somebody at the wedding, and I had it was somebody's sister. We had hit it off, and I told her I was going to take the bus from Scranton to New York City to go visit people. She was like, well, I can drive you to Philadelphia and get you, like, most of the way there on her way to Baltimore. So she had dropped me off there, but I had never, like...
experienced the city.
Any adult thing to go around and just look at everything. And then as a American history buff, it was...
Sure.
A wet fucking dream. And it just kept getting better and better and better. We added an extra 24 hours to the day. The conference ended at noon, but I didn't feel like... rushing that day when I was booking it, so I'm like, let's just leave Monday morning.
Nice.
And then it was like, well, there's a direct flight at 1:55, so we get the whole day in the hotel. Yeah. We're used to getting up early by then, So we just walked, and the most incredible, about everything we saw, Independence Hall, we saw the Capitol building, which I fell in love with, and I bought souvenirs for like the first time in all of my travels.
Gosh.
I actually bought a souvenir. And then we went and met the girl that I was with. She kept mentioning Macy's and trying to get to Macy's. And so that day, I'm like, you know, we're walking the city like a Costco. Like, we were really, like, getting through it. The market, I'm like, you know, if Macy's is right there on the other side of the market that we want to go to find, you know, breakfast, lunch, let's go into the Macy's and see what that's like. Because I'm sure it's one of the old East Coast Macy's.
Oh, yeah. Multi-level.
And it's not the first Macy's. It's the second Macy's, but it's the bigger one.
Is Macy's from that city?
Macy's is John Wanamaker is the guy's name that started it or something. He's the one that came up with the customers always right.
I'd ask you
to
Google that, but it's gonna be a challenge.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to prove his connection is to Macy's, but Macy's first location is the one in Herald Square in New York.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
But the bigger one, his second store is the bigger one. That's in Philadelphia, and they took an old, I can't remember what it was, but it has one of the world's largest pipe organs. So this Macy's is five or six stories high. It's in this gorgeous, looks like Grand Central Terminal, with a three or four story pipe organ as like the dominating thing. And I
That's
was like,
cool.
The nice. Store was so beautiful, and like the architecture of it. And
does the organist play the entire time the store is open?
Well, no, that's what I'm thinking. On like at Christmas time, they must just do this up, right?
Oh, of course they would.
This pipe organ's so loud that I'm thinking if you were trying to like shop or have a peaceful day and you've got like a three-story pipe organ.
Yeah.
And I, you know, with all the balconies looking over the main gallery, and it was so cool because they have this, it's called Meet Me at the Eagle, and it's this giant sculpture of an eagle that came from Germany, and they had to reinforce the floor for it. And it's a thing in the city to tell someone to meet you at the Eagle. It means downtown in Macy's.
Well, that's cool.
But they had all these balconies overlooking it, and my nipples got hard just thinking about it. I'm like, at Christmas time, I want to choreograph it. Oh. I want everybody doing the Carol of the Bells from the balcony while they go nuts on that big fucking organ.
Macy's founders is Isidore Strauss and Roland Hussey Macy.
Right, and they died in the Titanic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Yes. So they died in 1912.
They went down in the Titanic. So what this Wanamaker's connection
I didn't
was.
Yeah, Wanamaker's is weird. The first department store in Philadelphia. He also opened his first New York store in New York City in 1896, and it looks like as maybe that became Macy's. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like they combined somehow and they became Macy's. But he invented the thing, the customer's always right, and all these different things, and it was beautiful, beautiful city and everything about it. But my favorite thing, and I've been trying to find the quotes from it. So if you're listening,
oh, and he was really into organs. He had a big Welty Philharmonic organ in his home.
So you guys had a lot in common.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giant organs, perfect for me.
very good, Marnie.
Various colors.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, he predominantly prefers one.
Well, and some of them were missing.
The darker the organ, the sweeter the juice. Yeah.
Different
the sweeter
keys.
The song. Stay with music.
They were missing the keys.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. One pedal was gone.
But in front of...
they call him Flipper.
Because you do the whole... We had so much fun. We did so much goofy touristy shit just to have fun. We did the Haunted Philadelphia tour.
Those are fun when you really like just take them for fun and do them at night.
To have a beautiful fall night and just kind of walk around the city and hear these goofy ghost stories. But they were so much fun. And
then I'm sure Philadelphia has a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. And you know, complete bullshit, but who cares? And then we thought we were breaking into the garden, and then we went back the next day and... We were in the wrong garden. We were in the wrong people's backyards. But the city's all gardens. Mm. And all the businesses have to donate a certain percentage of their sales to art. And they have all these art exhibits all over.
Which was the Monopoly thing
you
saw.
So the one was, it was Milton, it was all the, and I don't know if it was Milton Bradley, but it was all the games. So it was dominoes, checkers, sorry, Monopoly pieces. And it was this whole plaza with like giant game board pieces. That was really fun.
In fact, you sent me a thing to Google moving, was it Move Art? Move something? What is it?
Yeah, something like that.
You sent me a text so you can actually look at it and see all of the game pieces because I was asking him, there's a large, you know, huge iron that would be part of the Monopoly set. Yeah. And I asked him how, you know, in comparison, he says it comes up to his chest, the iron. So, I mean, that's how tall it is. Okay. Not that he's
Move Art.
Yeah, Move Art installation in Philly. So, but and that was fantastic. And it was one of those things where taking pictures of it was never going to do it any justice because of the scale of it. You need an aerial shot.
Right.
But so outside of Independence, the Independence Center, because, you know, the Liberty Bell, because of 9/11 is no longer up. in the Liberty Hall. It's down in the like bulletproof glass.
Down below ground or something?
No, yeah. And then there's Washington's.
Oh, wait, the bell?
Yeah. Washington's house. They excavated it and found his slave quarters that's ironically right in front of the Liberty Bell is where Washington kept the slaves and all this like crazy stuff. Mm. But in front of the actual Independence Center, it's called Indelible by Allison Skye. And I've been trying to find the quotes that are on there. And it's very strange. It takes all the parts of the, and it's a wall. It's a wall thing. It's probably 30 feet high by 30 feet wide, and it's all the parts of the Declaration of Independence that were voted out by the slave states. All the things that had to do with abolishing slavery in the Declaration. Wow. That all the slave states,
the people have probably forgotten or even knew they were part of it.
Yeah, so okay. they voted it out because it was voted on and it was rearranged and edited. So all those parts were gone. So it took all these parts in different segments of that part of the Declaration of Independence, and then it had in the parts that were like really like, oh my God, like you can't have that and have slaves. You had to stand directly in front of it as soon as you lost, and it was kind of like as soon as you lost sight of. Freedom, you couldn't see it anymore. Like, you had to stand right in front of it, or it would like turn into like a mirage and you couldn't read the words.
Wow.
And then they had 8 quotes, and they were by Abigail Adams, Martin Luther King, a guy from a Chinese diplomat, a Native American leader. And it was all about independence and freedom and just the irony of, like, why are we in your country fighting for equal rights when you have a Declaration of Independence? And it was, like, right down the line of every part of suffrage or any part of, like, someone fighting for equal rights. And I'm like, this is a city that just debates, you know what I mean? Like, as we're in this time of, like, my way or nothing, that you see all these conflicting ideas and these reasonable minds coming together and having these great arguments and... To sit in the first, we sat in the first Congress, we sat in the first Senate, it was because it was the Capitol for like 10 years. Just amazing to be in the same room with these people like that actually had intelligent debates like from the Enlightenment. Just beautiful. And then a fabulous city with fantastic food.
Nice.
So much fun.
Gosh, did you ever have the cheesesteak or no?
I had cheesesteak so many fucking times in so many ways.
I thought
ways.
You said that you had, the one post I saw, you were like, I love this place and I haven't even had...
cream cheese.
Cream cheese, yes, yeah, that's what
cheese.
He said.
I finally flipped it over and cream cheese comes from Illinois. Just strangely
really?
Named Philadelphia. Okay. Yeah, not from there at all.
I did not know that. We've learned something.
Thinking, I read it fast, obviously.
And trust me, if it was from Philadelphia, it would have been called Ben Franklin's cream cheese. Or William Penn.
Made with electricity.
So it's sure. Seriously, if you want to go, I'll go back again.
You're really selling me on it.
I was there as a kid. All the cities I've been to, it was in my top two. Like, I was just not prepared to love that city that much. Part of it.
My family did a high school, when I was in high school, a history kind of tour all through the South and all up the East Coast and up into, you know, we did a lot of battlefields and historical monuments, and it was very, very cool. And by the time we like cut down and went through Philadelphia to go to Illinois and visit our family and come home, I was real over the trip. It lasted for like a month and I was just like, oh my God. And I remember the bell. And I remember like a couple of other pieces, yeah, a couple little tours. But I just like, I was so over history at that point as a 15-year-old girl.
Well, as a 15, sure.
And I knew I had seen the bell. Like, there was things, but it rang a bell, if you will.
Thank you.
And will ring a bell.
Painful.
Nice.
And it was the, you know, the Museum of Modern Art where the Rocky runs up the stairs. And we did the double-decker tour on an absolutely pristine day.
So
we were
great.
Staying right on the Delaware River, our hotel. My room was looking north at the bridge. at the Benjamin Franklin Bridge. It was just an amazing trip.
We had
a lot of time, like, because the conference started at the crack of butt crack dawn and went to like 4 o'clock. So then it was our time. We're both night people. So we had all this nighttime to like, and we just wandered and walked everywhere.
Did you sleep at all?
No, almost
any
none.
Sleeping?
Nope.
Well, then the irony in that is he comes home and his body doesn't know what the fuck schedule he's on and he can't sleep now.
I'm going home and drugging myself. We're like 3 hours away from like every drug. Yeah. I'm going to do the full Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
As I threaten occasionally.
As long as you don't do the Conrad Murray, we're fine.
Yeah, but my sister's dead as the other one.
No, I don't want to do Heath Ledger either.
Yeah, but my... My house Judy is Garland. Very clean because that's what I've been doing.
I was thinking that one might be the better choice, but Judy Garland didn't end well either.
No, huh?
I'll go out singing.
Not the Elvis.
Not,
yeah, and we can't fit this into entertainment, but
you're taking sleeping pills.
Yeah,
yeah.
But one of the best little adventures was, you know, we had a couple dreams. Like, we wanted to have Italian food. We wanted to have seafood. And we went to this wonderful Italian restaurant, and we get there, and and we had hunted for it. We looked through all these guides. We were Googling and Yelping everything, and we found this restaurant that sounded kind of charming. We liked the menu, and we walked there, and the lady's like, "Do you have reservations?" And
we're
like,
"Oh,
no." She's like, "Well, do you mind sitting in our garden?" We're like, "No, it's
fuck
a lovely."
No.
We're like, "It's a lovely night. Like, it was threatening to rain, but it was a lovely night. It's this gorgeous garden in the middle of the city, and like my favorite, but they have one building that looks kind of like the Chrysler Building, but it's blue because everything in Pennsylvania, everything in Philadelphia is based on reflecting nature. So, like, the skyscrapers are all in blue, so they look like the sky, reflect the sky, and it was gorgeous. But it looks just like the Chrysler Building. That was, like, right above our table that we were looking right at.
And that was the worst seat in the house?
Yeah, and she was making it sound like we were going to go sit in the basement in the timeout zone. And it was lovely. The food was wonderful. And then just
no reservation. No soup for you.
Soup for you. Just as our entrees were coming, it started to really rain, and they were nice. They're like, you know, we have a closed off room if you'd like to come in. It was a lovely little like side parlor because it was an old house. Mm. So it was like a side parlor that they opened up for everybody that was on the patio. And we had a beautiful dinner. Decide it's kind of raining, so we're going to like run out of the restaurant and just find a pub. We're like, just run, find a pub. There's been a pub on every corner or some kind of bar. First thing that says bar and grill, we're going to run in and have a drink. So we're running, we're laughing, we're trying to share one umbrella between the three of us. And we walk in this cute little club, and they had a great wine selection. The guy who was nice, the person that was with us went up to go to the bathroom. He's like, "Oh my God, you got to go upstairs. It's a jazz club upstairs."
Oh my God.
So here we are. We're having lovely drinks downstairs. We're laughing our asses off at getting caught in the rain, kind of like what we did that night with our bikes. Like,
okay.
How fun it is to just be caught in the rain and on your way on an adventure and trying to stay dry and like any port in a storm.
Yeah.
We go upstairs. It's this fabulous jazz club with a guy playing the horn and a piano player that just sings like
really
melted caramel sauce. They're up there playing. So we take our drinks up there. We're sitting with them. And the guy's like, there's only like 10 or 11 people in there. He's like, anybody want to sing? It's like, I'll sing a song.
And everybody's like, oh shit, Al's going to sing.
So,
because do they know you sing? Or do they?
No, they had no idea.
Okay, so you're attacking them from the
all
side.
Sides.
Okay.
So I do a little ditty, and the guy's like, you know, I don't know anything, but he's got iPads and iPhones, and he's pulling up the music, and he's able to transpose. He was like a musical genius and sang like melted caramel. His voice was from heaven, and he was hot. Oh. And the horn player was really kind of cool with the towel over his head because he was all wet, so he was all sexy and everything.
I am telling Kelly right now, book a trip to Philadelphia. Yeah. We're going. I literally am like, let's go
to
Philadelphia.
And there's like three black ladies doing backup harmonies for them, and we're having so much fun. So then I was like, I kind of got the vibe of what he was pushing, so I was like, do you know You Don't Know Me by Ray Charles? And so the horn player's kind of working it out and teaching them how to play it, and they're using Google, and he's like, all right, come on up. He's like, we got it.
And so do you know this?
I had the lyrics on my phone, and they had it, and we just did the cool menthol stylings of Missy Elba's Ray Charles, and it was
Missy
fantastic.
On the mic.
You'll never, never know the one who loves me so. You don't know me.
You don't know me. It was.
You don't know me.
No. You don't own me.
Is that it?
That's You Don't Own Me.
You Don't Own Me, yeah.
You Don't Know Me. Is it was actually an Eddie Arnold song from way back in the day.
Is. Yeah,
and
it
then
is.
Then Eddie Arnold wrote it, and then Ray Charles recorded it in the 60s.
Go?
It's You'll Never Never Know, The One Who Loves Me So, No, You Don't Know Me.
Who does You Don't Own Me?
The girls from Sister, or from Three Wives Club.
First Wives Club. First
no, they're not the only one.
No.
Old,
like, you Leslie
Gore is it, you know, You Don't Own Me.
Look at you, good.
I'm not one of your little toys. You Don't Own Me. That's Leslie Gore. And then the girls in First Wives Club did it. That
ba,
version.
Ba, 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 ba.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember First Wives Club.
Dun, 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 dun,
I mean, saw it. I think maybe.
But this one is that you give your hand to me,
and then you say goodbye,
and then you say goodbye, and you watch.
I watch you walk away beside the other guy. Like, guy, you'll never know the one who loves you so because you don't know me.
Yeah,
I don't know that song.
I'm gonna write down, and when we're done with the show. Because we can't play it on this show, I'm gonna take it in the living room. We're gonna play the goddamn thing.
I want
you because we have broken the ball. We've christened the ship on getting you
that
an interview.
Yeah.
So I mean, now that we've crossed the threshold of Live and More's Donna Summer. Oh, by the way, speaking of Donna Summer, I got a little snarky remark. Somebody posted there's something I follow on Facebook, and they posted something in regards to the Pride that I'm hosting this weekend up in Cottonwood. Verde Valley Pride, which I'm really honestly very excited
it's
to
so
go to.
It's so beautiful.
Because A, it's gorgeous, and B, it's not Phoenix Pride. I don't know every face, though there will be some familiar faces up there that are going from Tucson, Phoenix, and surrounding areas. I'm very excited to go to a smaller town's Pride, because it's just like the entire town's coming out for this. And up there,
and a lot of dogs.
And they really do. The whole town comes out.
The cool thing about that town, or in those little areas up there, is the people that live there are so chill and so laid back that, yeah, you're gay, who fucking cares? Like, really, that's their attitude. They don't care. The bars are gay straight. Nobody cares. People come and go and do their thing.
Yeah.
Nobody worries about it. Like, Phoenix in the big city where you've got, you know, all these big, the city-fied people and all this stuff. Everybody's, you know, all up in your shit and wants to know what's going on. They don't care. Mm. They have a wine bar. You're gay. Come on, sit down. They don't care. I just love that. And so I'm very curious to see how that goes this weekend. But somebody made a comment on one of the pages about something in reference to a George Michael song, and then somebody followed up, well, don't worry, Clayton will be up there this weekend. He'll help you figure out everything to do with George Michael's. And I immediately got pissed.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm like, thank you, I'll be there this weekend, but let's all remember that it's George Michael, just like it's not Donna Summers. And they're like,
only one of them.
And they're like, wow, kind of sensitive about that. And I'm like, well, it's just, we have to say it right. It's not Donna. It is Donna Summers' song, but it's not performed by Donna Summers. It's not George Michael's. And that just drives me nuts. And it drives him nuts, too. I know it does. So I got.
But at least they don't call her Diana Summers.
Or Donna Ross.
There was a brief time where they overlapped.
It's not as sensitive to me, but I'm from Illinois, and so we get a lot of people who really don't get it, and it's Illinois or Illinoisy.
Right.
I've heard actually.
Well,
Des Moines.
I always get Missouri. I'm like, no, I am from Missouri.
Yeah.
Well, no, but apparently you're not from Missouri because you're no, it's Missouri. Right. It's Illinois. It's Des Moines. It's
Missouri. Donna fucking Summer.
Donna Summer. God damn it.
We'll figure it out.
7:36, it's hour one. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That is me alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We are in Studio C for the duration of the show, which ends about 10 o'clock our time. We'd like to thank Kuwait and United States. Those people are listening from somewhere in the great beyond.
Welcome Kuwait again.
Kuwait has been, in fact, I've been watching the past several days through the app. Kuwait is a regular listener. They're on a lot. So again, the single person who is, I don't mean single as in you're not with somebody. I mean the one person listening out there in Kuwait, I would like them to know, where's your bell?
I don't know.
She lost her bell.
I must have it.
He's a bell hog.
I am bell whore.
So the people in Kuwait, if you would, give us a shout in the chat room. Say hi. Let us know
in
who
Kuwait.
You are, what you're doing.
Yeah.
We'd like to know why you found us, how you found us, and what you're doing.
And they've been a regular listener at least since September, I think.
Absolutely, they have
been. Of last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
We got plenty of goings on. Entertainment coming up, I'm sure. Katie, based on the game last night, you've got some sports coming up.
Exciting.
Marnie and I have some headlines, and we'll get through the rest of it by hook or by crook. We'll be back right after this on Q-Talk America.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.
I'm straight.
I'm gay.
I'm bisexual.
And I give a damn about equality.
Want to know why?
Because one hate crime is committed approximately every hour of every day in this country.
Imagine walking down the street and wondering if this is the day you'll get beaten up or even killed simply because of who you are.
Because many gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender teens who come out to their parents are thrown out of their homes.
Imagine confiding in the people you trust most, only to be rejected and tossed out with no place to go.
Because during the past 16 years, over 13,000 men and women have been discharged from the military for being gay.
Imagine being willing to sacrifice your life to protect and defend this country, only to be kicked out of the military because of who you love.
These are just a few of the reasons why we care about equality.
It is time for things to change.
We all have to get involved.
We all have to give a damn.
I give a damn.
Do you?
Join us at wegiveadamn.org to learn more.
This is the Q-Talk America Radio Network.
Well, okay, here we go with some headlines on this Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2013, on Q-Talk America.
I felt like that needed a bell. I felt like there was an empty space.
Salvation Army says gays need to be put to death.
Can't say Obama was legitimately elected.
Well, that didn't take long.
Rubio's an ass.
Ferrari drivers feel that cops are profiling them.
From hiccuping to murder, in jail for the rest of your life.
Casket shows up with no body.
Lance Bass says, I'm not going to out anybody.
And a man with some Neosporin in a napkin. Well, we'll tell you more about that in a second. I'm sure you might want to. You might want to read ahead.
A little concerned.
Can't get that taste out of my mouth.
No.
You may want to read ahead. I'm not sure.
What's happening there?
Well, in a story that, well, we're actually going to go in reverse of these. We always know that our friends and Al calls it the penis of America. It's Florida.
Welcome
Hello,
to
Florida. Florida. Welcome to all. In fact, all the listeners in Florida right now, if you'd like to chime in and let us know, well, if anybody is. Port St. Lucie, Florida. A man with some Neosporin and a napkin is accused of masturbating while watching women shop in a department store.
Oh, I saw this story.
According to a report from the ABC affiliate WPBF, George Mesa, who is 50 years old, is seen in the area outlet store's surveillance tapes, crouching down and peering through aisles, while all the while pleasuring himself through a hole in his pants pocket. Mesa told detectives that he was there shopping on behalf of his daughter, but oddly had no money on him. He did, however, admit to the act when confronted with the surveillance video. He was arrested on a charge of disorderly conduct, and at press time, there was no listing of legal representation.
So, kind of crouching tiger, hidden masturbator?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, something like that a little bit.
Hidden wanker.
Neosporin aisle five. Oh, ah!
Right. But, so,
yeah, Neosporin.
So, okay, so Neosporin...
He has sores.
I
have a theory. He's been masturbating so much that he's caused chafing.
Something.
So now he's prophylactically masturbating with Neosporin.
That's just not even,
probably accurate, though. I'm going to say.
I'm certain it's probably accurate.
Just creepy all around.
He was dry humping for so long and had a little rug burn. And
The creep factor is a definite on that one. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy's running around the store hiding behind end caps on aisles and looking around and stuff. You look suspicious, sir, regardless of where what your left hand is. I'm not sure, but you look weird.
Weirdo.
And the funny thing is, when you read it the exact same way that I, like, you said it out loud the same way that I read it in my mind, that I thought he was looking through a hole in his pants, but he was masturbating through a hole in his pants.
Sir, can you raise your left hand? Nope. I cannot.
So I thought he was like, what's kind of obvious if he's holding up his pants. And it's just the wording of that particular
like
sentence.
Holding his pant with one hand, masturbating with the other hand.
I've already got
him
off and I got the Neosporin on. So I'm just going to peek at you through the crotch.
I hope they're dark shorts, sir. Go ahead, Marnie.
Well, you know how everybody likes to that whole birther issue.
Oh, they don't let it die.
They
my God.
They won't even let it be born.
It truly was never born, apparently. So Blake Farenthold.
Sure.
Farenthold.
Work it however you need to.
From Texas.
Weird. The taint.
Well, I mean, you have Texas.
More the
ball sack.
He was looking through his pants. No.
So close.
Anyway, he was on Chris Matthews.
Good.
Like you do.
Sure. And people were talking about Cruz, about the fact that, you know, he's an American.
No, but Ted Cruz, senator, is born in Canada of Cuban-American descent, but born in Canada.
Right. And so now... This
he wants
is an
to be
issue.
President.
Run for president. Yeah.
So this is kind of an issue.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they brought up all that other shit. Little Republican man. They brought up all the shit about Barack. Well, they're kind of going back and forth.
I like how you call him Barack because you're best friends.
Oh, yeah.
We're close.
Barry, sure. If you smoke pot with him.
Well, it depends.
The B man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Big B.
Farenthold just kept trying to pass everything because Chris Matthews kept going back to him about, well, okay, so what's the difference between Cruz and Obama, according to you? So how can you be backing him? And he just kept pushing it up. And he says, Matthew, stick to the point, Congressman. He's as eligible as Obama is. Because apparently now he's trying to go with it and say, well, you know, you guys all said it's fine that Barack had the African dad. So why are you giving Cruz so much shit?
Because he had a Cuban dad, right?
Right. Like there, and he was born in... Canada.
He wasn't even fucking born. That's
the
thing.
That's the big deal. He's not U.S. born.
Yeah. Is that Obama is U.S. born. I don't care where his parents are from. He was fucking born in the United States.
Yes, big difference.
This dickhead's parents aren't from here, and he wasn't born in here.
Because John McCain wasn't born in the U.S. John McCain was born in Guam.
But on a base.
But a U.S. territory.
Base, right.
A U.S. base.
And of United States citizens.
Right.
Yeah, they kept going back and forth because this guy wasn't making any sense. Like, you can't, apples and oranges.
It was real embarrassing. Chris Matthews was shutting him down.
Right, like, big time. Like, what are you doing?
Now, are you gonna get to what he said?
He says, can you repeat Matthews?
Chris Matthews, okay.
Says to Farenthold, can you repeat after me? He was legitimately elected president. President Obama was elected president. Legitimately, Matthews says. The people elected him, yes, Farenthold exclaimed. So he was a natural-born citizen, Matthews pressed. I didn't make that judgment when he was brought in. Well, everybody watching knows what you're doing. You're dodgeballing. I mean, he kept, like, just
I wish he would have even been more forward.
They went one more quarter turn. And
oh, I didn't say that.
Yeah, they went one more quarter turn, and where he landed on was because it didn't matter what country he was born in, because both of his parents aren't American.
Right. It says his mom
is Canadian.
Mom is an American born.
Oh, and dad is a Canadian Cuban.
Right. Matthews explained how he has contended in the past that because Cruz has an American born mother, he's eligible to run for president.
Right. But not Obama, even though
Obama has an American born mother.
Right. But that's what they're saying.
I get it. They have
to beep, beep, beep. So what they landed on was because he's not born. And he's not born of both American parents, and he's born on foreign soil and a foreign citizen because he denounced his Canadian citizenship.
Yep.
With like he is was a Canadian.
I wish
citizen.
He would just go back.
Like, yeah, bye.
No, take but him. Like Obama like never claimed to have. That's the whole thing about the college records was yes. Did he get grants as a sure. foreign student?
No,
like that, but that's one of their things. They're saying that at some point Obama claimed Kenyan citizenship. Actually Indonesia.
But that did not happen.
But no, because that's why the college transcripts they want to see. That's why.
That's why they keep pushing all of it.
Because they're saying that he applied for foreign aid to go to school. So where this guy lands is, as long as one of your parents is an American citizen, it doesn't matter where you're born. Right. And so Chris Matthews is like, there it is.
There you have it.
Right.
His mother's American. It doesn't matter where he was born. He's like, well, that's still in the Americas. And Chris Matthews was like,
oh my God.
He's like, I want you to tell me tomorrow that Cuba or Canada is the United States.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that interview.
Or even the territory of.
It was a tennis match where they didn't just play tennis. They took a couple machine guns out and went at each other.
Chris Matthews was the bomb.
Because I don't watch Chris Matthews, I'm going to have to look that up because I would love to watch that.
Yeah, he's a super smarty patardy.
I'll send it to you. I can forward you the thing. It has the link with the sparring on it, and I only watched like right at the beginning, and then
I would enjoy that. Yeah let's...
Because everybody unwinds. Like, everybody just goes a little batshit.
Let's enjoy that.
I like it.
Okay, well, now we're all aware of all of the flooding and everything that happened up in Colorado. Well, as we all know, the way things work, Colorado is north of New Mexico, so water runs downhill. Or to the south, trying to get to greater pools of water, which are known as the oceans, to those of you who don't get outside the mainland. Flooding in
New
Mexico.
Long way to an ocean, though, on that course.
Yeah, but you'll get there.
It could happen.
You'll get there. Flooding in New Mexico washed up an unexpected item into one small city. A casket.
Oh.
The Daily Times reports that a rusty casket washed up in a dry creek wash near Aztec Speedway during recent flooding in northwestern New Mexico. The casket's appearance mystified Aztec New Mexico residents. The casket's appearance mystified Aztec Well Services employees when an employee opened it to find that what he thought were going to be bones. It was just full of junk and trash. Aztec Police Sergeant Joseph Gonzalez verified that the casket did not indeed contain any body parts, but in fact contained various bits of trash, garbage, towels, and junk. From whoever owned this casket. Anti-zoning advocate Carl Banowski, who lives near where the bodiless coffin was found, says he's sure the mysterious casket is his. He says one of his three caskets washed away during a recent monsoon rain.
How many times is he planning on dying?
Well, I don't know why he bought them. I mean, was it a good deal? Was it a threefer? I don't know. I don't know what the special was. I mean, now granted.
Set of four, missing one.
Yeah, but I don't know. He says he collects old cars, but had purchased the casket at an auction back in 1980.
So you are ready.
Yeah,
prepared.
Keeps garbage in it for now.
Yeah. It's a story. It's just a storage nook right now. That's all it is.
Clearly, the burp seal thing isn't working.
No, it's working perfectly because it floated away.
I just recleaned out my garage, and I'm looking for some more storage.
Find a casket.
Clearly. Yeah. I need a casket.
You might. You never know.
I mean, it's the new place to...
put
well,
the
you're,
stuff.
You're just lounging. I mean, take it out in the backyard, open it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, it's, and when I die, get a little there sun.
I mean, it's not as comfortable as a hammock, but still.
Maybe not. Right. You know?
Well, and it becomes a little.
Oh, that,
intrusive
that satin lining, though, shade. Just looks delightful.
Yeah. You can put a sound system in it.
It's so hot.
So you can come over and use mine.
Then you'd be, what's the thread count in this fucker?
Oh, I'm sure you can ask.
Well,
I remember.
I do want speakers. No, I'm not getting buried, though.
Yeah, I'm not getting buried.
Fuck no.
They'll just be burning those.
For
no,
the record. No, and it's a steel box. You don't know.
I'm donating everything.
Pine box.
Provided that anything is well, useful.
I cardboard. That, I
certainly
mean,
not my liver. But hopefully anything else is useful. Yeah. And then burn me up.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever
and
burns.
And spread me around
well,
cool
and I
places.
And I told Mom, because when some other people that we have known have passed away, and they we were looking for ways of cremating. They didn't have any money, and they, you know, were looking all around. Well, I just told my mom, just to, you know, we have that fire pit out back. Just put an apple in my mouth.
Okay, the fire pit. Me. The fire pit is 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet.
What?
Are they going to just cut you up in chunks?
You
and
might
just
be
put
more
you
bendy.
Piece by
You'll
piece?
Be really bendy. When
no,
you're
I'm just
dead.
Saying you can do. You know, tonight, well, tonight just, it's an honor.
I have been watching Dexter for 8 years. I am perfectly happy to cut you.
Fine.
Up.
See,
I'm
he's
willing
fine.
To do it.
Really?
I'm not going to feel anything. I don't care. Just I want the apple.
I can wear the Dexter costume and the mask.
Is it weird that I sort of want to be there as your assistant? Is that weird?
Okay. Yeah, that's really weird.
By the way,
just see
really
how
weird.
It goes.
Kind of changing the plan now. That's yeah, all. Because yeah. now I feel kind of uncomfortable.
Now only certain people are permitted to be
violated.
Involved.
Well, you know we have an iPod playing violated. Good music.
That's true. And
we will play Last Dance.
Yes. Yes.
Make you look great, and then I'll spread you somewhere really fucking awesome.
And if the fire goes,
now for
ouch.
that sounded
oh,
bad.
It did again.
Yeah.
Again.
She'll be dead. Remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm right. just saying, I want my ashes to be spread in like really cool places. So, you know.
What would be a really cool place? Let's
I'm going to go back to that lake I was just at.
I want to be
Table Rock Lake
somewhere
in Branson.
On a mountain. I want to be when my family or children at whatever point that I die are skiing. Take me up on the ski lift. When I'm dead, yeah. Take me on the ski lift.
No.
And while you're riding on the ski lift, just like
shake and
people
shake
me around.
They're like,
yeah.
What is it, Mount St. Helens?
That snow tastes like vodka.
Right.
I get the.
So I'm a ski. I'm maybe also like a lake.
Catch a candy flake on your tongue.
Yeah. Maybe I want to be split up and spread a lot of places. I'm spread all over.
Minor.
Well, we did that with. I mean, that's still actually going on for Woody.
Well, Woody hasn't even found his final resting spots. No. I mean,
where have you spread him?
Woody's still in my living room.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and he's not been spread anywhere.
No, I haven't.
I have quite a bit of him, and he's gone wherever I've gone, which basically just means Minnesota.
For those
California
of you wondering
here,
what we're talking
but,
about, a friend
know.
Of ours many years ago passed away. His name was Woody, otherwise known as Suzanne Targey, and when after he passed. He was cremated, and his mother brought back all of his ashes and dispersed them to all of his friends in little, is it Jim Beam bottles,
yeah.
Little airplane bottles.
Amazing.
So I have. So Woody's still.
I'm
in
on
my,
board with this whole story.
Woody's still in the living room.
Well, and I. There's no two ways about it. Ridiculously, should have had him with me going to Missouri.
He's pissed at you.
Oh,
right
you have
now.
No idea. Haunting, but which he's been doing for years anyway. But,
and I like the splitting up because I want a little bit. In off a sunset
isn't
cliffs.
That kind of a fun? That's a fun idea.
Yeah, and I went a little bit to go over. I went a little bit to go over Niagara Falls just because of some cool pictures I've taken.
Sure, but you're not cutting me up.
That would be funny though. Is to do a montage. Here's pictures about at the falls. Here's pictures about in the falls.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun.
At the service.
Right before the falls.
Now I feel like we have a travel project. Right.
So at the celebration of life that is 6 months after you pass, in the slideshow montage, we'll do that. So Al here, Al there. And now,
why are we waiting?
Yeah, I can't remember. Why are we waiting 6 months?
I don't know.
Not for me.
Is that a thing that we're doing?
You won't be involved.
You're not going to care.
Because I just, all of a sudden, when you said that, I feel like that's a real thing that Al would like, a weird stipulation that he would put on it. Like,
no,
you have to wait 6 months, and
sound,
here's why.
It does
sounds
sound
very
just
Al.
As pain in the assy as I am, but it didn't come through.
It has to be on a Monday and a full moon.
Well, it can't be on a Tuesday night, for fuck's sake.
It's
God.
Certain. Well, no, because
we'll be
very busy.
Sorry, Al.
We'll be doing a show without you.
You could be in the Jim Beam bottle.
With a lot
all,
of quiet time.
All on oxygen and in hover rounds in here, I'm sure.
Not me.
Except not me, because I can't back in. Well, I can sit where he's
sitting. You'll sit where he sits, right.
Oh, good. When's that going to happen?
not anytime
Maybe
soon.
That, well,
I
might get
not.
The sleeping pills right tonight.
Oh my God.
I just got, no, fuck you. I just got that desk moved
no,
into
no.
your room. God damn it.
Not yet. Well,
exactly.
I don't need that.
Go ahead, Marnie.
So, fucking Rick Rubio. It just makes me shake my head. Yeah. I mean, really, these people.
Wag a finger.
Yeah, like just, I don't get it. So he had gone forward with this nomination for a judge in Florida.
Of course.
And yeah. And it takes both senators from, you know, whatever, Democrat and Republican, obviously, have to say yay to the nomination. And so they put in a nomination for the, like, the president would do the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. But then Marco Rubio and Bill Nelson, Democrat, would be chiefly responsible for the federal district court of the state. So Judge William Thomas is who they nominated. And he fit the bill nicely, it says. He grew up in poverty in a large Pennsylvania family, worked hard, succeeded through his legal career. They reviewed his record, Rubio and Nelson, reviewed his record, subjected him to a background check, encouraged the White House to nominate him for the federal bench. 10 months ago, Obama's team agreed, and Thomas was poised to become the first black openly gay man to serve as a federal judge, which is obviously very mm-hmm. cool.
Big deal.
Sure.
Really big deal. It wasn't until a few days ago when Rubio announced his opposition to the nomination. And so the minute, in essence, what he did was pulled the nomination.
Sure.
And it was, right, exactly. And they say it's in, it's because of his.
Oh, this is going to be good.
The way that he ruled in two cases. And because of the way he ruled in two cases, Rubio pulled the nomination.
Tolerant and thoughtful? Are these the two things he ruled?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. they didn't go into what the two cases were, but what was stated in here is that if you go back and read the two cases, there's absolutely no reason to think that he had done anything anything crazy in it. But what Rubio had stated was that the concerns were about his fitness for the bench following two recent criminal cases. Those concerns include questions about his judicial temperament and his willingness to impose appropriate criminal sentences. And again, people went back and said, huh? Yeah. How is that even possible? But because of everything with him and talking about immigration and going through all of this, all of a sudden there are a lot of things happening that are making him not as much the golden child, it sounds like. Which I don't follow him a ton, so I don't know. I kind of look to
well,
you
Rubio,
to say...
Well, Rubio's the problem because he's Cuban, and they're trying to pass right. him off as Mexican
correct.
So that the Republicans can say they like sure. a Mexican, but he's not.
But is that what the because no, I, the Republicans are backing away is
no, but
what
I think that
like.
because gay marriage is coming to Florida, and I think this guy's... That my take on it was that marriage is coming to Florida, and they don't want to look tolerant in any way.
Okay, because that's what this kind of alludes to, but it doesn't say exactly. It says rather what the writer of this, Steve Bannon, it says, what I suspect happened is that Rubio endorsed Thomas for the federal bench, then started imagining the attack ads in 2016 primary.
Right. Everybody's worried about getting primaried.
Right.
No one wants any of these things to happen, but they want to make sure they don't get primaried in 14 or in 16.
Right.
And that's just it. They don't want the further right crazies to put these ads on because
the Tea Party probably said.
Right. And that's the problem is that the people in Republican primaries that vote don't have no sway in general elections, or Romney would have won,
okay.
or actually. Rush Limbaugh. What's the other fat fuck? Newt Gingrich would have actually won.
Sure. Yeah, I'm like,
it's these people that are so far to the right that now everybody's watching their step because they don't want the okay. attack ads because you'll lose the primary. And what no one's paying attention to in these stories is that like Christine O'Donnell was one of these crazies that made it in.
Fucking whack job.
But can't make it all the way.
Sherry Engel. They get through the Republican primary, so they halfway decent Republican.
Doesn't get in
because he got primaried out, and then
like,
the Democrat just wins.
And I feel all set with the halfway decent Republican. Like, I'm on board with a decent, normal Republican.
Right. But the didn't know how good we had it. Like, that's the thing. We didn't know how good
I'm
it was
on board.
Until
that's the thing that I have an issue with.
Christine O'Donnell got ran up the flagpole.
With her witchcrafting. highlighting,
that's Bill Maher's genius.
Thank God for that.
Genius.
Yeah.
You know, that he was afraid these attack ads would highlight his role in choosing the first nation's first openly gay black man to become the federal judge. But the thing is that
for Republicans, that's a double whammy. You got black and gay.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, it's like letting Don Lemon do something.
Right. So, yeah.
But what doesn't make sense to me is that there are so many young Republicans that are out there. I'm going with the young Republicans,
right,
primarily.
But they don't vote in. They have not proven themselves in the primaries yet.
But when I'm going with young Republicans, I'm going like 43 and under, because that's what I know. You know
right,
what I
and
mean?
They, and honestly, I don't think that's young Republicans. Any of the rational, all of the rational Republicans are not coming out in the primaries. That's what we learned in 2010 with the Tea Party, is that the rational people didn't come out to vote. It was the fringe people that put people like Alan Keyes in from Florida. Like,
oh, sure. Okay.
Hey, right, that's the level of crazy.
Because I would think the young Republicans would love Rubio.
Right, and we're going to see it when this 2014 election comes
out. It'll be ugly.
Well, we'll see if it's ugly or if the Republicans take their party back.
Sure.
It's the end of hour one. We have more stimulating conversation, as if any of this hasn't already been. Coming up in the next 2 hours, don't forget Thoughtful Vulgarity is in the end of our third hour. We also have entertainment coming up from Al Perkins, a little sports from Katie June, a couple more headlines from Marnie and myself. Also, the drinking game starts. Brendan, we come back right after our little crossover break. So many things to do. If you're in the chat room, please say hello. Let us know where you are, what you're doing, and ask us important questions, because we like to answer them later when we're drunk, because that makes more sense, doesn't it? It's the show. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 801. It is a Tuesday night. You're in studio. Well, not really literally in studio, but you're close. It's Studio C coming to you live from Central Phoenix. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Katie June, Marnie Reiner, Al Perkins. We can make up the cast of what we like to call The Show every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 right here on Q-Talk America. Thank you for joining us. If you are on land or at sea, we thank you for listening and taking the time to enjoy our little show. We'd like to say hello once again. If you didn't hear us already, say it. We welcome Kuwait, who is listening live. Hi. Somebody in Kuwait is. You've not joined us in the chat room. Maybe you can't, and we understand that. But if you can, please give us a shout out. Let us know where you're listening from and how you enjoy the show, or if you do.
And if you don't, why?
Yeah.
Right. What's causing you to not enjoy this?
Because we're willing to make changes.
A couple. Are we not drinking word? Are you taking a panoramic picture or a video?
A video.
Katie June is taking a video.
Maybe we should start
and it's
over.
A selfie. Oh, my God.
What a good day to have a video of me.
Yeah. Well,
you did your hair.
I did.
I know. It looks good.
And that double matte makeup is really working well for you.
Fabulous.
Very much so. As we do typically at the beginning of each and every second hour, well, mostly, we do a little thing called the drinking game. We start with a little disclaimer that sounds something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
In honor of our upcoming story, I think our drinking word has to be hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
Hallelujah will be our in any praiseworthy.
Oh yeah,
anything like that. Gotcha. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's our Katie. In case you didn't hear,
I heard.
You heard that. All right, good.
It was Al speaking.
I really.
Usually that's not fair.
Even from
across the way, he's yelling out hallelujah to have a drink.
even from beyond, when he passes away and is in ash form, we'll still be able to hear him.
And we'll still play that disclaimer.
I can still hear him talking.
God.
He just won't shut up.
He won't. He won't. All right. So hallelujah is our drinking word. If you don't have a beverage already, by God, what the hell is wrong with you?
Seriously.
You're obviously not a fan of this show. Yeah. That's the problem.
Or not a fan of a lot of things. If you're not drinking.
Maybe you don't drink.
Right, because Tyler doesn't drink.
I mean, right?
Oh, well, exactly. Tyler.
Marnie's mom.
Get a Coca-Cola. A Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Di would be.
Di.
Right? She doesn't.
Actually, my brother has listened. Not a drinker.
Correct.
So I regress.
So
I
basically, grab the iced tea and be like,
exactly. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Right.
I think we told Tyler that he had to drink the sugariest thing possible.
So like a monster. My brother is like, he doesn't drink alcohol anymore. And so he smokes a lot of cigarettes. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And he drinks
smoke a cigarette every time.
Thank you. That's what I said. But he also drinks like a shit ton of like Monster and like every energy drink he can find. He went to this big giant CA, this big Cocaine Anonymous, like huge weekend party at the Biltmore. It was very cool.
Cocaine Anonymous.
At the Biltmore.
Yes,
fancy.
I know. They have like really good digs. It's a national, international. It's an international conference.
Well, celebrities
that do
might
cocaine
show up.
Used to have a lot of money, I'm sure. Yeah.
So anyway, he shows up and he says there was the nightclub was like they partied all night long with no drugs, no alcohol, no nothing. And I'm like, that's really cool. And then he's showing me pictures and I'm like, but every single one of you has like 15 Red Bulls like in your hand
at one time. Yeah. Right.
You know, it's just funny. Although I'll take it. I'll take the sugar high over the drug high any day.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, go AA.
Though I don't imagine he's listening. Remember when you all master planned the shock?
I was like, whoa, I don't know. Where
definitely thought that was going in a different direction.
So much because I have my pants on.
The master plan where you brought in Laura from NYPD Pizza, and you brought in Joel, and I was breathless for a while.
Well, yeah.
It is Joel's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Joel!
I'm not sure where he is, but I did find out the other night that he has a boyfriend. So anyway, you're dead to me.
In a related story, Joel's dead.
No,
to me.
I did see. I've actually seen Joel several times the past couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden he introduced me to a boyfriend. I'm like, So my handshakes have been a little firm. Got it. Yeah, all right. Well,
got it.
We mentioned earlier
or left hand muscle stronger. Yeah.
No hole in the pocket. By the way,
no.
Multimillionaire who drives a red Ferrari accused police of Aspen, Colorado, of sports car profiling after getting a speeding ticket for going 34 and a 25. According,
that's not speeding.
Nine above is fine. Everybody just calm the fuck down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think.
51-year-old Mark Ostrovsky.
I say 40 above.
51-year-old Mark Ostrovsky, who I don't think is related to Elka off of Hot in Cleveland, claims.
I know that name. Yeah, Ostrovsky. Oh, my God, that's funny.
And that's the first,
fantastic.
And it's the first time I've seen it other than Hot in Cleveland.
Yep.
He claims that sports car owners are pulled over in the town of Aspen more often than owners of other cars. He adds that other Ferrari owners in the town agree with him. Apparently, he either belongs to a club or took a poll. And by taking a poll, I don't mean that bad. During a court hearing, he denied speeding.
With my organ.
With your organ. He denied speeding and told a judge that he would pay $10,000 to the officer who gave him the ticket to take a lie detector test. He was denied that request. Ostrovsky eventually pleaded no contest to the charge, but maintained after a court hearing that he always watches his speed. Quote, I don't ever speed in that car. No way. He said, you specifically don't speed when you have a car like mine. You're very, very aware in this town of speeding. The Aspen Police Department released a statement saying that only 12% of drivers who are pulled over in their city are cited, suggesting that officers don't target anyone in Aspen, Colorado. But seriously, if you drive a fucking red Ferrari, they are going to
asking to be pulled over.
You could be doing 80 in a minivan and they'll never look at you.
No, if you could be doing 10 in a school zone and they're whatever.
Clocking
you could be doing
you.
Yes.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Red cars are almost always profiled. Right.
Red cars?
Oh yeah.
And what was it? What did he say?
It's a Ferrari.
A fucking Ferrari? Yeah.
Okay, now
that would have to be cruise control. No matter where you go, because I think you can only not, from my own experience, set cruise control if it's
35 below 30, and under.
30 above.
Oh, is it 30?
I believe it's 30
because
and above.
Because I thought,
I love cruise control.
I just know that going through a school zone, going through a school zone, I've tried because those sons of bitches serious.
You got to basically stop.
Right.
Because of the killing of children.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important.
Fucking watch your children.
It's a give and take.
Just saying.
You can speed up after the car.
Ride faster, survival of the fittest.
I think the low limit is either 30 or 35. I'm never sure which.
And I'm not saying it's any car manufacturer can be different.
But to be able to set crew, because I will do that. If you especially know a certain area.
I've learned with my truck that the way to go through any school zone period is I just
go around it.
No, it's second gear idle, and that gets me through.
Yeah, I coast. Yeah. I just take as soon as I
take
see
my foot off the brake.
You take your foot off the brake?
I mean, excuse me. Yes.
And hallelujah!
I
just aim for that fucker.
Aim for the kiddos.
Not off the brake.
Foot off the gas.
Kind of what I was doing on both flights. I don't know if anyone saw the picture. Put off the gas. Baby next to me and then everyone who had ever given
that.
Birth.
I read that, yeah. That's funny.
So, anywho.
Yes. Sorry. So, yeah, be careful. If you're in Aspen, Colorado, driving a red Ferrari, or even if you're driving like a red Neon, just slow the fuck down.
And I have to tell you, and I'm trying to become more car literate in case I ever want to have a conversation with gentlemen that do that stuff.
Sure.
I don't think I could pick a Ferrari out of a crowd. I don't know. I don't think I know what one looks like.
I could only by the logo.
Can I go old school with you to help you pick this out?
Uh-huh.
Remember, I think it was... Not Cannonball Run. It was one of the vacation movies where Christie Brinkley's driving the car next to Chevy Chase.
That's not where I would pay attention to a car.
I thought that was a DeLorean.
That red T-top was she was driving a Ferrari. Red DeLoreans were only silver because they were all stainless
steel.
That's
right. They were all silver.
Yeah.
But so, again, the car is not the thing I pay attention to in the movie, but thank you.
You're welcome.
I referenced that movie about 15 times this weekend, so sure.
And you're welcome that I was able to give you a movie reference.
I appreciate it.
I feel better.
Hallelujah!
I almost feel worthy of being on my own show.
Yeah. Not quite.
Yeah, don't get ahead of yourself there, Clayton.
So close. Yeah. Cunt tear away.
Oh. Wow.
I have to say, because I've been laughing.
I love it.
Katie's delightful smile as she's sipping out of a straw from a cup that says cunt has just...
Red Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
And they look fucking fast.
I just don't care about them. Kelly is
I don't care either.
Kelly
have you ever seen Pretty Woman? Was that a Porsche?
I think it was a Porsche.
God only knows. Kelly has like
it corners like it's on
car.
Rails.
That's
I can give you the line, but I don't know what they're driving.
I was just going to say corners, but it's
we were in Santa Monica, Porsche. We were walking and we saw like sports cars like crazy, bananas coming out of everywhere. And Kelly has like sports car wet dreams and I could give two shits. I'm like, "A, you're never driving one." I mean, we can never afford that.
You drive a Honda, for God's sake.
Exactly.
You do.
B, we're never going to get one of those. And C, like, even if you could like afford a version of that.
Where would the car seat go for Palmer?
Thank you. She used to have a spider, got in a bad accident, Scary McGarry.
Oh.
No. Sports cars, off limits.
Are you talking like a spider like James Dean?
It was like little sports car-y spider was.
Is it a Mitsubishi?
Mitsubishi,
spider?
I want to say, yeah.
See, I'm trying.
Kelly's like super.
I'm actually
look at
really
you, Al.
Fucking
hallelujah, Al.
Hallelujah.
I only knew about the one.
No. I'm trying.
So did y'all hear about that chick quite a few years ago that had the hiccups for like a month?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that? Like she just, and she couldn't stop hiccuping and she was on every show and she got all kinds of attention and, you know, you'd think that would have been enough.
No.
Nope. Nope, because now she's going to serve life in prison for first-degree murder.
What?
Right?
Ooh, did she push her husband off the cliff after 8 days of marriage?
No. That was a different story that I almost picked up the people just for that.
Yeah,
but
I know. I wanted to know, too.
Me too, big time. I'm going to have to read that.
When honeymoons go wrong.
Right? Next on Inside Edition. this was oddly Clearwater, Florida.
Oh,
that is actually not odd. Yeah.
And it's not Clearwater.
And actually, my aunt and uncle live in Clearwater, as a matter of fact.
Do they?
That's a true story. Yeah. It's actually a beautiful little town.
Is it lovely?
It's near Tampa.
Not here. So she became famous for this whole uncontrollable hiccup thing, because that's what we all want to be known for.
Choose your battles.
Right. Pick wisely. She did not later on in life. She apparently did like a Craigslist ad thing and lured this guy in. And then she and two other guys killed him and stole his stuff, like, here, meet me here, and brought him, lured him around the back of this real dark house, and then they beat the shit out of him, killed him, and stole his stuff. She's only 22.
Busy
going
girl.
To spend the rest of her life in prison without the possibility of parole. Albeit that she's not the one who did any of the beating or killing.
Oh, wait.
She's the one that lured.
Yeah, well, so fuck her. So, yeah, hey, let's lock
hallelujah.
That bitch up.
You and I are on the same page.
Yeah,
I'm
too,
saying. Yeah, because to me, had you not done that, the two guys couldn't have beaten the shit out of the guy and killed him.
So what happened to the two guys?
One is still standing trial, and the other received life in prison.
Without the possibility of parole?
The without possibility of parole was what I was actually just looking for.
Florida likes to execute during halftime too. Isn't that one of the entertainment states?
They do. Yeah.
Say that one more time.
Don't they execute for fun down in Florida too?
Like Texas?
Yeah.
Similar, I believe.
Dallas halftime show execution scheduled.
Right. But. So it was a 22-year-old Walmart worker that they had lured.
Wasn't his life
and
bad
it was
enough?
Under the pretense of buying marijuana. And so I think that that was another part of it.
To cure hiccups?
Nope. Oh. The hiccups had been cured. Maybe by marijuana.
I got that part, we did not know.
We'd not been given that information. Anyway, he was shot 4 times.
Oh, that's so awful.
And then they stole stuff. But I thought, really? You know, she said, I didn't pull the trigger.
I did everything right up jail. To it.
Right. I did everything.
It's so disgusting. Like, what's wrong with you? You're 22.
She says, because she had hiccups.
God. No, I'm serious. That's not what she said, really. Like,
no. It says, because I set everything up. This gal explained to a call that she sent to her mom, or that she made to her mom. It all went wrong, Mom. It just went downhill. Do you think?
No shit.
Do you think?
Yeah, someone died.
Real dead. Still dead. Yeah. And,
even if not dead, just beaten and robbed.
Right.
Assault charge. That's nothing to be proud of.
Either
way,
you're a shitty fucking human.
Yeah, exactly. At 20, you're Hallelujah. Right though, Katie June. I'm with you. You're right. At 22, when you look at me, seriously,
like what happened in your life? Because
days.
When I was 22, I was super.
You were in Nantucket.
Another one of these stories, right?
Stop it. I was. Yeah, but I was like really. Hallelujah. I was partying and having fun and great and love and super duper, and I was definitely not aiming to kill people. So
right. Not aiming to.
What happens in your life?
I was smoking enough pot to be peeing out stems and seeds.
Thank you.
Let's just say it.
What happens in your life when you're this girl at 22 that you're like, yeah, sure, I'll lure someone to my house to kill them. That sounds really fun.
My favorite part, because there was that stupid shit with back in the day, and this is totally whoop as far as change of topic, but back in the day with Harvey Milk and how... I can't think of it. Dan
White.
Thank you. I was going to say Dan
also
Brown.
Also a fucker.
Different color.
Yep. Different.
Dan White, the Twinkie defense and the junk food, right? And all of that made him do it. Well, right. On this, her attorney said, she had an attorney.
Oh.
Her attorney
at
said
press
his,
time.
Cli- at
sure.
press time.
Sure.
That his client was on medication to control hiccuping. And even then, she occasionally had bouts, quite frankly. She hiccuped briefly during... one day of her murder trial.
Oh, so did I.
So, you know.
You were on
really?
A murder trial?
No, but I hiccuped one day while she was on trial for murder.
But is that the hiccup defense?
Is there something we don't know?
And the hiccup medication defense.
Whatever.
Like, what are you on?
Boo. Right. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You're on the fear factor. Boo.
Boo.
What?
Wow.
What a dumbass.
Hold the breath while you have one leg in the air.
So next time you're calling about getting the marijuana.
Be careful.
Just call Laura. That's all.
For reals.
Don't get lured.
Don't call Laura. Do not get lured.
Get lured, not lured.
That's right.
Totally different.
That's what keeps me up the hooch, though, is I don't want to deal with the people. You know what I mean? I don't want to.
Sure.
I don't want to meet new
freaky,
people.
Freaky.
Yeah.
The freaky ones.
Mm. Side note, we're enjoying these incredibly delicious pretzel crisps right
yes,
now.
Yes, they are good.
They also come in a honey mustard flavor, and you could just eat the whole bag in one sitting.
Oh.
So think about that next time you go to the grocery
now,
store.
No, I do have... I have mustard in the fridge if you need it.
No.
Okay.
Don't need it, but they are just coated perfectly.
They're good. I am a med.
Peanut butter filled pretzels are like the greatest food of all time.
You can't find those, which is hard. Because Kelly goes bananas over, obviously, Ferraris and
fries
those
in
things.
Your backyard. There's a whole section of them.
I hate fries. Oh, I had a story about that fries today.
We'll get to that in your section.
Put that in sports.
You know, we're all very techie here in the old Studio C. I mean, we have iPads, iPhones.
Oh, yeah.
We have a laptop if you have a charger that works, Katie. And I have this antiquated HP Pavilion that seems to still work for whatever I need it to do. Well, on Sunday, less than 2 little days after the iPhone 5 went on sale, a German hacker collective became the first to claim victory over the gadget's much buzzed about Touch ID finger security system. Basically, they've already broken into it. They did it pretty much the same way that Bane's flunkies breached the biometric passcode on Bruce Wayne's stock exchange account in the movie The Dark Knight Rises, using a copy of Batman's fingerprints. Apparently, Catman or Catwoman had done some light dusting around the Wayne Manor.
Catman would have been a whole other movie.
Actually, I think it is, but it's produced by Falcon.
Hallelujah when it comes out.
Produced by Falcon. Catwoman lifted a
Matt
fingerprint.
Matt Damon will play that part.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Top or bottom. He said top, by the way. Anyway, Catwoman apparently lifted a fingerprint off of something in Wayne Manor during the Batman movie, and they were able to use that to recreate a fingerprint and break into something of Batman's. I think I saw the movie, but don't remember that. Well, even before the Chaos Computer Club, one of the largest and well-known hacker collectives, crowned victory via a tried-and-true fake finger method, Apple's first foray into the biometric security wasn't given any respect at all by the media or other people amid concerns over privacy. Actually, Senator Al Franken, who is a Democrat from Minnesota, asked if Apple might share stored fingerprints with third parties or the government the way tech companies do with other customer information, and hacking, the jokes really just kicked in and went all over the place. Actually, in jokingly, but still, it actually worked. A cat's paw, a man's nipple, and a crowdsourced bounty to the first to hack the Touch ID are likely just the beginning of running gags at Apple's expense. So they literally have gone back and said, so many people who have figured out you can hack it in multiple ways, use multiple body parts, so on and so on. Just keep the security, your four-digit, five-digit, whatever it is, security code on your item, and don't use a fingerprint. Don't use... Go ahead, Al.
When they did this story on CNN and on Good Morning, because I was up that fucking early this week,
right.
And I love Chris Cuomo.
Yeah.
Hallelujah for that man in the morning.
Yeah. I do like him as well.
He could fuck me six ways from Tuesday.
Wow.
Okay, now that's
before
different
I ever
than
once
how
complained.
I feel, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Different than how I feel.
But they were asking questions about like the replicating the fingerprint.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, it can't be from a severed finger because there's a temperature problem. And like Michaela Kay or whatever her name is that sits there at the end and
Michaela Kay.
The drag queen.
Definitely not her, but yeah, close. Ms. Close.
Whatever their names are. I don't know them. Colin Firth. I'm not sure.
Michaela Kay is a former Miss Gay Arizona American.
I know, but it's close to that. Just imagine
similar,
her darker
different.
And a little heavier in the hips.
She looks like Trixie Deluxe.
She's lovely. Ophelia Bunz.
No, I agree.
Whatever her name is at the end of the counter.
This whole exchange is asinine. She
really does look like Ophelia Bunz.
Michaela Beer or whatever it is.
So she's like, why would you worry about a severed finger? And we're all like, well, we've all seen that movie where they, you know, cut out someone's eye or chop their finger to pass security. They're like, oh no, there's a temp. They built in the temperature thing.
But you can get past it with all kinds
of other things. Right? That's the thing. So everything aside from severing, like, they figured out how to do this without ever severing a finger.
Right.
Everyone involved in the...
Tom Cruise was a part of it.
And now if you watch Newsroom, which will come up in a little bit later, but the one thing that they talk about is they have a red team on news shows. It's called a red team.
All right.
And I thought it was from some ancient, like, I thought it was some Shakespearean term. It's not. It's something from... something stupid. I googled it the other day.
Hot?
No, not even that. But the red team is in computer companies use it. So they take their computer program that they just invented and they put it out to all the hackers, and the hackers are the red team. They have to hack it.
Right. If they can.
Yeah, if they can. Figure out how to hack this thing.
Sure.
And you do that in news stories. So you take someone that doesn't know the news story and you're like, all right, I have this completely preposterous news story with sources. Find the holes. Like, you guys do it so that the story doesn't turn out to be not true later down the road.
Like everything else we report on.
Right. So you send whatever you're going to do to a red team that's blind to the topic and tell them, figure this out.
Got it. Okay.
And I think maybe it's from war or something like that, but it's something really simple. But it was just funny that Apple doesn't fucking use a red team. Like, it was 1 day.
Right. 2 days.
How fast did you rush this motherfucker out that you still, that your hackers didn't figure
now,
this
the
out?
Well,
yeah, but don't they
are the Chinese
a phone
children
like
making
every...
these phones not good hackers?
Well,
I mean,
no,
do they need
a
skill
set? They're at that zoo looking at those animals.
But you would, in China.
These are delicious.
But the people in Apple, and I think this has been one of their downfalls over many, many years, is they're on an island and they feel like they are supreme being and they produce their items. They're lovely. Their items are lovely. However, it seems as though they produce a lot of them in a perfect environment. Whereas as long as everybody's playing the game correctly, it all works fine.
Right.
But they don't look like, I think Microsoft, though a lot of people are opposed to that, I think Microsoft does a lot better. You know, they're open source programming. Everybody and their brother can attack them from any angle. And then they all work for the betterment of the software. because Apple has not, never, in all the years I've ever done software updates with Apple products, which is exactly why I went to mom's and did her Apple updates myself, because, and I hesitated on doing even mine, I wait, because there's always a fuck up, there's always a problem, there's always something, and it bites you in the ass, so I try to reserve myself and do it after everybody else has. So, to that point, every time there's a problem, Apple never acknowledges it, ever. Right. So mysteriously,
there's just a mysterious update.
Exactly.
So, and there will be now with what you're talking about, but also there's a battery problem.
I hadn't heard that.
I just read that today that there's a big time drainage battery problem
with the new fives.
I haven't noticed it with mine. It's the operating seven. iOS 7.
I haven't noticed it with mine yet.
I'm with you because I don't upgrade. Like I don't upgrade right away. I don't get the new phone right away. I don't have updated software right away.
I have now. Have you?
I have not.
Okay, I have.
Yeah, my friend Danielle, I read the article
that it's just like bananas. Yeah. Like, turn on your phone, it's dead. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I hadn't heard that.
And I don't know if that's every phone. IPad. I know that it's...
It is good on the iPad.
I know that, that's for Danielle's phone. I don't know about Jason's.
My iPhone is so filled up with music that it won't allow me.
Yeah.
But there's no memory left. I will teach you the way around that after the show.
I don't want it, though, because I've heard nothing but bad things.
Oh.
So, right. And they even said on CNN, and this is so funny that CNN tries to be like... That morning show, I think they're just strung out on coffee that they forget that they're supposed to be news.
Which is funny. We are, too.
So Chris
they're trying to be like the Today Show.
Who I was imagining he was fucking me from behind while he was saying this.
Jeez. Hallelujah.
I'm a little tired.
Hallelujah.
Drinking word.
Hallelujah.
There you go.
He said, he's like, you know, with Apple, you just wait 8-10 days and let everybody else get all the bad ideas.
Suffer through it.
Yeah, right. So just wait till they work out the bugs. And I'm like,
and then Apple should just
say that. We have this great product, but don't buy it till next week.
Right.
Well, and then early adopters have all that problem.
iOS 7.1.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Or whatever they call it. But you know why they are on an island and they can feel like they're on an island? Because they are. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
There were over 9 million new iPhone 5S, whatever iteration of the iPhone sold in 2 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Nine million.
What I don't understand.
But people waiting in line for 24 hours.
But their stock went down.
No, but wasn't it like 6 months ago, 8 months ago, that they did the 5 and then the 4S?
The 5 has been out longer than that.
But it seems like
they got their ass kicked by the Galaxy, Samsung Galaxy.
So they had to do...
And the Google phone. I mean, that everybody at work, that's become the new phone, is that Galaxy.
Okay. I don't know. If you're an iPhone person...
It is the size of a fucking planet.
Yeah,
they're too big. And it's, I feel like if you're...
Half the size of an iPad.
I feel like if you're an Apple person, you're an Apple person. I think that the Samsung phone looks sexy as all get out, but I'm an Apple person. I'm not going to change now.
So what's the difference between, with that commercial, the iPad and then this other tablet-y thing?
Yeah, it looks really cool, but I don't care. I love it.
No, not the iPad mini.
No,
it's something else where, like, oh, you have a keyboard. It's Siri talking.
She's talking to the phone. Remember it had the fun dance commercial a couple months ago where you attach... to your tablet.
Oh, yeah.
They attach the
keyboard.
Oh,
that's the same thing?
It's the same thing. But now they're saying, like, all the things that it does that the iPad can't.
Right.
Like, at this conference that I was at, I wasn't going to bring a notepad, and there was a lot of lectures. So I was like, all right, I'll take notes, and I have my tabs on here, and I bought the pages for Apple, so I can take notes and be careful and have everything prepared for when I came back. And then they were like, here's a USB plug, a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm. With all the notes?
Yep.
With the whole fucking weekend on it.
Oh, wow.
So here's the people with laptops plugging them in, and I'm like...
You can't do it.
I can't do it. I could be looking at this lecture.
Yeah. Apple needs the USB port.
But I'm sure...
Yeah, but there's a thing you can buy. I should have given you the... I have the thing where you can put it here, and then you can use the USB port.
But the funny thing about it...
Like, I bought an extra thing.
But the funny thing about it, though, is that then I saw that commercial, because it was on all weekend, and I'm in a hotel room, so I don't have my DVR, and I have to watch commercials. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, she's fucking right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She gets her ass kicked, and you can't...
Like, and for cheaper.
Like, if I want to listen to something on YouTube, like if I want to play a video on YouTube and just listen to the songs, I don't care about the video, and then go to another page, it stops. Or if I want to listen to David Pakman show, because I don't need to watch, he just sits there and talks.
Right, just listen to him.
And go to another web page and check my email.
Really?
I can't do it. You can't go page
on the iPad? Because that's like the big thing about the iPhone, with AT&T anyway, is that you can listen to I can turn on YouTube and listen, and go to something else.
Oh. Yeah, can't do that on the iPad. It's a downside to it.
Yeah, one of the things that I have enjoyed, I think they've figured out the Siri thing a little bit better, because now Siri is...
She's a whore.
Well, no, not just that. Siri is...
A useful whore.
Siri is able to be done in a male voice, and I think she understands things a lot better than she used to.
All good. I will call you when I'm in unsettled.
Oh, that's a female voice. Oh, because it's under you. I have the male voice selected on my phone.
Sure.
I like it better. But I think the voice recognition software is better.
So you're saying
better.
The male voice is smarter than the female?
No, I'm saying that I think overall their voice recognition is better.
Oh, and they and
but
my,
yes, yes. The my male voice. The male voice.
She
the male,
was sending.
The guy understands. If I ask directions, he's
hallelujah.
Like, just, if I ask directions, the male voice says, just look it up.
You'll be fine. Just keep going.
Google that shit. I'm not your bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know. That commercial has gotten me a little bit hooked, but I'm the one that buys. I bought the iPad, the original iPad, then I bought the mini, and I still don't use it. Because I'm an iPhone. I'm more of an iPhone user. Yeah. I love my laptop, and I got the lightweight one that I can carry anywhere. And I have my phone. I don't use it.
This would be if I didn't have. This is to replace a laptop.
Right.
My laptop, I love my laptop. He was loaning me a laptop, and it was so heavy to carry.
Oh, that thing, but that this thing was ancient.
And this is all this is. This is me having a laptop.
And I bought the MacBook Air specifically because I was using it as my sole computer for work and home, traveling with it, and it weighs nothing.
Yeah, because I would rather beat you with this than read something off the screen. This screen is too small.
I've gotten so used to it.
So to that point, what I've done is
seriously beat you.
Made mom's text larger.
Hallelujah.
Text larger on the iPhone. Sure. But mom said the other day, she goes, I'm more connected than I've ever thought I'd ever been in my life. So she says, all I do for my PC is I just go in occasionally and pay bills on it. I'm like, you can do it on this.
You
she
can
goes,
do it on
no,
the
I'm good. Yeah. So she does it on her, but she does everything now on the pad. She does it on her phone. She's all connected.
Can I ask you, just another question along those lines, is she's saying she's the most connected she's ever been.
Ever. And never wanted to be.
Right.
Yeah. Ever.
And there were some interesting stories over the past few days because, you know, as you may or may not know, BlackBerry, a Canadian big technology.
Can't be president. No.
Ted Cruz,
he likes BlackBerry.
Cannot be president.
So BlackBerry has just been sold for, you know, because they're like, this is what I don't understand. They're losing they're losing stock and losing shares hand over fist. So they're sold for 4. Some God only knows billion to some investor, which I wonder what the investor will do with it. Doesn't matter.
I will tell you in a minute. Finish your rant.
But they were talking about how BlackBerry really took the workplace to the home. And it did, you know, and it was the first one that you got that. And there are still people who are using BlackBerry. I was listening on the Today Show.
Internet out of the home.
On the Orange Room. And they were saying, the people that still use BlackBerry say, I use it for my push to work emails. Like, it comes in quick. There's no distraction. There's no Facebook. There's no music. There's no, you know, there's not a whole lot of things other than, here's my email. So it's a very business oriented product. There was this whole segment on NPR or whatever, KTAR or whatever, today about the idea of turning off, and that nobody does it anymore, and children are almost like it's the most kind of sad, however you look at it, for children, because they're coming up seeing their parents using these things. And I think about Palmer then, and kids are younger and younger getting iPhone, and they're expected at all times. Like they said, when you first got the BlackBerry, it was like, oh, cool. I'm at my son's soccer game and I can answer an email real quick. Awesome. And now you're expected to answer that email.
Right.
Yep. Doesn't matter what time of the day. Doesn't matter what day of the week. Yep. Doesn't matter what you're doing. And I see that happen with Kelly, regardless, based on, I don't know. So it's bigger than just the technology. I'm talking about just that kind of 24/7, 365, like consistently on.
And it's people wanting you to be accountable because of that.
And they talked about the children who don't see or know any differently.
It's all about the children. It's always about the children.
But you don't know children.
And puppies.
And I thought
and they're on their phones all the time. They're connected. They're 24/7 connected. And they don't understand what life is without being
we're a society that looks down.
And they have no desire to be. Like, you couldn't strand them for a peaceful weekend. And I thought it was the last resistor. 10 years ago, my friend who has an IT job, Justin, in Boston, we were on a beach and he had his BlackBerry. And I'm like, on the beach? And he's like, I have to work.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not really off till tomorrow.
I'm the same as Justin.
And he said this. And this was years ago when, I didn't even understand the technology existed, that you could be on the beach, on the internet. And he's like, right. I'm not technically off till tomorrow. So today's a work day.
The fact that I can be on the beach is lovely.
I'm just playing hooky at the beach,
yeah,
right.
I can exactly. be at the, yeah, the, and that was the lucky thing. But I thought
that's
how sad.
My life is.
And then I went to Mexico a few years later, and I took my phone, turned off my phone, and put it in the safe hotel room and didn't see it for a week. And everybody I was with was like,
what the hell?
How can you do that? Because yeah. I had a flip phone. And until I got this, I could go somewhere and like turn off the phone and like, I don't care.
Well,
but now with the security issues, like I always have to have, this is my security system.
It's
hooked to ADT.
Yeah.
I check my security system constantly. People
well, your
text
personal
me.
Security, your home, your...
No,
your,
I mean, this
whatever.
Literally is right. my ADT
yeah.
device.
No,
this is how I get to ADT.
Well, and it's
so
like,
now I won't put it down because I won't even go to the bathroom at work without my phone in my pocket in case ADT
just
calls
just in case.
Me.
Well, and the...
Well, I think even bigger than that, knowing how...
But now I'm comfortable with the Facebook on it, so
right.
I'll go
but
on.
It,
I'm on it constantly.
But knowing how your life is, because you are more than, I think about anybody that I know, you are one of the most spur-of-the-moment people.
Sure.
If you have 47 minutes that you're off from the restaurant and you can go somewhere, you go at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. That helps you plan that shit instantly.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You drop, literally, you'll call me, oh, I'm leaving, I'll be gone for 2 days. Or I'll be here, or I'll be there, or... You do that, which I don't do. My world is not world like,
sure.
but because of the instantaneous way you can respond to everything on that, I think that's just the way you are.
And like I said, and I've bought in, even though I resisted it, I am hook, line, and sinker in on this.
Well,
and now I'm like, lost. Like, we're doing that Philadelphia tour.
Yeah.
They would say something, and I didn't want to keep interrupting the tour guide.
Sure. Look it up.
Because
so you Google
I'm
it.
Such a history geek that I was like, oh, no, you can't get past that. I just Googled, and I was Googling, and then I had my friend Googling.
I do it for directions
sure.
everywhere. I do it for restaurants. I do it for shopping. I do it for this. I do it for questions about Palmer got a fever. What do? I mean, it's everything. But I will say...
Starve a cold feet of fever.
The other thing, right?
I don't
the
know.
Other thing is that,
is that
we were on... I don't know if I've shared this before. Doesn't matter. I'm going to share it again. But we were on a vacation in Napa. And this is pre-Palmer, and this is years ago. And it was before I was, like, glued to a phone, and... And Kelly, we went on this beautiful vacation and we're in Napa, we're wine country, we have a Jeep and we're driving down the road and Kelly is glued to her cell phone. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I was taking it with a grain of salt until I couldn't anymore. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, we're literally about to walk into a winery and have like a beautiful lunch and a wine tasting. And really? And she goes, how do you think I pay for this nice vacation?
Right.
And I went, oh my God, snap. A, I shut my mouth, but B, it made me really...
Could you take that call?
Yeah. I know. Yeah, she's like, I'm glad that you're here, but
Kelly's
then,
phone, how can I help you?
But here's the sad thing is that, like, we were on this beautiful vacation, and she works her fucking ass off all year to pay for it. She should be able to take 4 days out of a week to go take a nice vacation, but it's like you can't even.
Right.
And you, even if you can, your mind or...
Yeah.
We were having dinner. She turns her phone off during dinner. And tonight during dinner, she got 7 to 8 calls. And she and her client, her work knows, like, we eat dinner as a family every night.
Yeah.
Like, 7 to 8 calls. One of her clients called her 4 times
in a row.
Phone rings, don't answer. Phone rings, don't answer. Phone rings, don't answer. Until she's like, please, please, I'm having dinner. And about 10 minutes later, client calls back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy. There's no boundaries for anybody or anything.
That's true.
I think that's an important time to set boundaries. Like, regardless of what your job is.
Yeah, but it's hard to do that.
No, but you have to. But no, but you have to say to people, I get a life for 1 hour for dinner with your family.
Dinner. 1 hour?
That's ridiculous.
We have a 2-year-old. We're talking about 20 minutes max.
You work out your shit for the world's not burning down.
No, but my deal is that during that time, I would just put it on silent.
Well,
I would too, but it has to be for it to be like a family dinner where everybody's like out.
Right.
That phone is not even in the same.
And it shouldn't be. And
it should be on silent.
But
I would
you,
right. like, put it on silent.
Be. And then you tell clients, tell who you're working
I'm
with.
I'm not judging Kelly.
But you're right.
And I understand that in some aspects now.
To a degree.
I'm going to play devil's advocate with this because, I mean,
you do an on-call job, but it should fall to Matt. Like you,
but
like,
so do you.
Oh, but that. There's also only.
Oh no! When I'm on, but I'm on call for.
No,
I know my 12 hours.
Right. No, but his is different because there's several other staff members who will come in and cover him for the company that I work for. There are 3 of us.
Yep.
Total.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes
and
they're
one
out of
Matt's
more
out of town or in the air. I live in Central Phoenix, so it all defaults.
You're kind of it.
I'm kind of it.
You're the guy.
And then,
but now that would be fine when he's out of town and somebody's taking a vacation, then you take their calls. But I'm sorry, if everybody's in town, You get your an allotted time. Yeah. I want an hour that there will be no, there'll be nothing.
And in interjecting there, I go along with he and I are really on the same page with that this a lot. But the Kelly thing, I really get that too. Because people will be annoyed. A year ago when we went back to Minnesota and we're on the Paddleford, you know, when we did the boat up and down the river, we're sitting there and I'm like, excuse me, hold on up.
Right.
You know, and I had to go take something. And if it's taking, not necessarily taking a phone call, because I try to get bitches trained for texting, but it's the idea that I'm taking a moment away from someone. And if you can't get used to that, I need you to settle the fuck down.
And I do too.
And Katie, I don't mean that at you. I mean, I'm saying in general.
No, but I mean, you need an hour of your day where, like, no, oh, I've
but it doesn't happen.
I've gotten used to it big time. And Kelly.
But I would say to set that boundary, to let people know that there's boundaries.
I think that the hardest part is that Kelly's worked from home for 10 plus years. So there's no differentiation. There's no work. There's no home. Right. It's all the same. Yep. And she works, she's a saleswoman. She works on commission.
Yeah.
And so her thought is, if I don't get a sale, that's if I turn off my phone for the weekend,
Palmer
to go,
doesn't get
and I'm
fed.
Not saying a whole week. I'm not saying a whole weekend. I'm
but regardless,
dinner hour,
dinner, yes. But yeah. I can sometimes understand where she's like, you know, I've got deals hanging. Like when we went to California, she was actually really good about it. And she tried really hard and was diligent to put the phone away, turn it off, put it away. She didn't even have it for photos because she's like, I don't want it to be on. Yep. But it's. But, you know, when you're living that 24/7 work cycle and you're getting paid on your commission base, especially, you're like, shit, if I miss this phone call, I miss a deal and I lose
money.
But
I'm just saying you just set up that boundary with where you work and you just pick a time
for
the day.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but
I'm just
really
saying
is.
If it's 4 to 5, it's a 5 to 6.
And Kel's national, so she starts with the East Coast and ends with the West Coast.
The later it gets, the easier it gets because those people have gone to bed.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to buy anything at 10 o'clock at night.
Right, yeah.
The the challenge that I run into with this is, and I try to balance it like this. You know, I don't get calls at very many calls. I don't get calls at 8, 9, 10 in the morning. Right. They're all afternoon because mostly bars and restaurants load up. And
You're a night owl.
And I'm a night person anyway. But I balance out the fact that I could go 3 and 4. I can go a week and not get a phone call, though I'm 24/7. Mm-hmm. I can go a week with no phone calls.
Right.
But randomly, 6:45 on some night, boom, I get inundated with something happens or whatever.
And you're like, holy shit.
I try to balance it with the fact that, you know, I can go days without having to respond to anybody.
Yeah.
That's nice.
But I literally, and it's Murphy's,
then you get flooded.
It's Murphy's Law. I go to sit down to dinner and I'm with somebody or friends or God forbid I'd ever have a date in my life. I sit down and literally, Murphy's Law, boom, my phone lights up. And it's like, I have
emergency.
I have no choice. Sure. I really don't have a choice.
Well,
especially when you're looking at an entire restaurant's down and revenue is at zero at this point.
But I have to have my dinner.
Right. So you got a full restaurant on a Friday.
No. You're taking the wrong point. I have to have my life.
No. And again,
but it is hard when you're.
No, it is hard. But you just work it out with coworkers or whatever. You just say.
And we do try to balance that.
Right.
But more often than not.
As long as someone could say from 4 to 5. On this day, and it doesn't have to be every single day at the same time.
Right. Well,
I get Tuesdays from 6 to midnight, basically.
Yeah. And the other thing about Kelly that
And that's a long stretch.
But I do text during the show, and I know I've seen you do it too, Marnie.
I have to.
The other thing that I neglect to say about Kelly is
I check my phone right now.
Although she works from home and has for a long time and is wildly successful at the home working, which I can't do for anything. But she... You know, at the same time...
Because you don't have a job, Katie.
Well, a lot of times say, I can't work from home, and I can't let it go because I work from home.
And that's hard. But Kelly, at the same time, she's comfortable in the, you know, especially, and God bless when her mom was going through all of her chemo, she was able to take as much time as she wanted because she can go do that with her mom and be on the phone.
Yes.
She also, you know, what she does do, because sometimes she stays up marketing all night long, and then she'll go, you know, a couple days later, she's like, I want to go see a movie at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And she can go at 11 a.m. Or I say, hey, want to run to Costco, which we know is an hour trip. You know, so there's give and take. It's not all bad.
This last weekend, as far as boundaries and as far as this, it becomes something, though, that when I worked from 7:30 to 4:30, and I knew that those were my hours, and that was it. And if they wanted to call me because of some kind of a shift working at a different place, that they would. I could say yay or nay, or maybe get the call or maybe not. That was completely different than here's our expectation.
You just keep that now. I'll start back.
when my boss went to hire me, she said, so here's the deal. You can come to work for us, and you might work 20 hours in 1 week. You might work 80 hours the next week. It just depends on what the need is. And people, for instance, with developmental disabilities.
I don't think you've ever seen 20 hours in any week ever.
Never.
Thank you very much.
But it could happen, apparently, in the sales pitch.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But the whole idea is that people with developmental disabilities don't take, you know, like they don't stop being developmentally disabled at about like 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at you.
I'm just saying in general. Go ahead,
please. Not related to this topic. And in fact, we should wrap this up because we have to go into movies. That's clearly a hot topic. We may have to spend an entire night about things like this. I have not vetted this story, and I used to say vetted because I've seen Newsroom before, and I've worked in one. According to people posting from Sedona, Sedona just passed civil unions.
Yeah, it was up for a vote today.
Up for a vote.
Hallelujah.
Not in 2014, not in 16, but effective immediately.
Wow.
Just in time. Time for their Sedona Pride.
I
want to
say,
hey, I should go up this weekend.
Well, you could officiate
some
weddings.
Well, I'm the Rev Rye.
Rev Rye, you could do that.
That absolutely makes them the fourth city in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know that. Katie could Google
Bisbee,
that. We'll get right
Tucson,
on that.
And Jerome.
Could be.
Jerome
and Sedona are all up in that
all
same
right
Pride
there.
Little world.
Yeah.
And Jerome is the shit.
I could make some money. Jeff Eversall, he'll be my agent.
He will. 8:45, we are going to actually ditch the Salvation Army story. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Because we have entertainment stuff to go through. And by the way, we're going to do that with the one and only Mr. Al Perkins.
Entertainment!
Woo! Right. Busy week. So the Emmys were on tonight. They were on Sunday. Lots of controversy. The Dexter season finale was amazeballs.
The fact that you use that word creeps me out.
Number one movie of the week was Prisoners. Brooklyn 99 and Mom are my two picks for the best new shows so far this season, and nothing's really started, so that was easy.
And that's entertainment. Okay, Al, take it away.
So the Emmy Awards were on, and there was a great brouhaha.
Over the
tributes to the dead.
Yes, I heard about this.
The still dead.
Uh-huh. The still dead. Not the undead, which is a different show.
Not the almost dead, Valerie Harper.
Still dead. There was great controversy because they said that the personal tributes, I think there were five of them.
Yes, there were.
Were very mood shifting for the show and brought the show down.
Downers.
Many in the audience found them very sad because they were talking about, in several cases, some of their friends and that it really affected the audience, that the audience was upset by them and kind of went and took personal moments. And I guess there weren't enough seat fillers. So sometimes you saw some empty seats as people went out and had emotional breakdowns.
Which I don't think is a big deal because there's an empty seat. Who fucking cares?
They make a big deal.
I know they do.
I don't get it either, but I guess it just kept killing the mood of the live audience, and that Neil Patrick Harris suffered the most from it because I guess
he's trying to pull them back up.
He was trying to pull them back up and he was not
and
as
how
well
do you
received
be funny,
as he
you right. know, right after that.
He was not as well received for his thing afterwards, and then there was a great brouhaha and the five people they picked and whether they were long enough, and some fool on Buddy Early's page got all up in my business because I was like, well, Corey Monteith was actually on an Emmy-nominated
show, which
here,
I saw.
And we're always trying to get younger viewers, so why would you ignore a current younger
somebody
star?
Somebody was upset
that there wasn't a longer Larry Hagman thing.
And or Jack Klugman.
Or Jack Klugman.
Because Jack Klugman's son threw a fit.
I was like, well, dead is still dead. And so what we came up with was to have a rolling crawl along the bottom of the dead are, colon, let it run.
Well, and
still
I heard,
dead as of today.
Well, unless they died of colon issues.
And I certainly feel that, like, okay, I realize the Corey Monteith. The one.
Who were the five?
Gandolfini was one of them.
Yeah. James Gandolfini.
Gene Stapleton, Corey Monteith, Jonathan Winters.
And David Gary Goldberg, I've got all the names right.
He's the
creator of Family Ties.
Michael J. Fox came out and did that one. Right. Okay. Now, I will give it, I don't know who he was, and that's fine. But I totally, Jonathan Winters, legendary.
And that's
totally.
what I would have jettisoned, but it's all personal. And what you're going to get to is it's all personal. Like,
no, it is. Yeah. But
Jonathan Winters is like
just
all
from this
Emmy
person.
Award winners, though?
Well, I don't
of
know
the
about,
five, I don't know.
Honestly,
I'm asking.
I don't know about that. I'm just saying for their mark. I'm just saying for their mark in television.
Sure. Right.
So I think the Jonathan Winters, absolutely, you can't escape him. He did so much for television and comedy and stand up.
Amazing.
Right. Yeah. Gene Stapleton. Okay, Edith Bunker's character broke so that show broke so many different stereotypes over the years. And when she died, like, she decided she was done.
Yeah.
And they staged the entire checkout for Edith Bunker, which was a huge thing on television. I agree with that too.
That's what I said, because it's all personal. So to me, I was like, do one Gene Stapleton thing and put everybody else as a crawl along the bottom, because
that was
the one that was moving to
me. I thought they seemed to do different generations. They reached different audiences through those tributes. Okay. But I thought it was totally appropriate.
And everybody seemed pertinent to TV. Everybody was, because you're always pushing something.
Like, someone likes John Waters. Someone likes Gene Stapleton. My parents watched The Sopranos. I watched Glee. Like, so there's different.
You're hitting every mark.
You're hitting different generations.
I just want to go back and say John Waters.
Jonathan Winters.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jonathan Winters.
Just in case someone heard it.
And
like,
I saw
what?
John Jonathan Waters like three times this
fourth
year.
Fourth Arizona city. Yes. Yeah. Sedona, fourth city in Arizona to recognize same-sex civil unions.
I forgot they were voting on that.
In a city council vote, 5-2, by the way.
I'm not sure what Rob Reiner was possibly pushing. Like, that's the only one. Michael J. Fox has a show on this year.
Right.
Yeah. Lee is currently on needs ratings.
Oh, so Rob Reiner was the one who did the Gene Stapleton?
He did the Gene Stapleton.
Well, sure.
Robin Williams has a new show on this year.
Yeah.
Everybody has something to push.
To spin. I agree.
To spin. Like, we're just trying to sell something.
But did you think, because you only named two of them, the other people were worthy of being in there?
I named four, because he had to produce the fifth one. There was Gene Stapleton, Jonathan Winters.
No, but as
Winters.
You were going through them, you were saying how you felt... Like that they were
no. Well, I think the two relevant, obviously, as big as those two, Jonathan Winters and Gene Stapleton were. But I really liked, and this is just me, and I knew that there were a lot of people who threw a fit about this. I liked the tie-in that they had. And obviously, it's scripted. Jane Lynch didn't come up with this all off the cuff, but when she said,
"We all have problems with addiction,"
right, he was not perfect,
and we do,
and a lot of us in this room can identify with that. When she said that to me, I was like, "Yeah." Exactly. Everybody in that room, not everybody, painting with a broad brush.
Everybody.
So many people that wind up in Tinseltown, if you will, wind up in some horrible blender of shit, and they get addicted to something and have a problem.
And if it's not you, it's a family member.
Thank you. I was just about to say, if it's not you, it's someone you love.
I liked how she hooked that in, but she got... Not she in particular, but that whole segment got ripped because they're like, what do you mean throwing everybody into the bus like that? Because Charlie Sheen's in the audience and all these other people who have snorted their way through fucking Hollywood and are a mess.
Or go to rehab to get their...
Right.
But that's the worst, not for rehab, but to get it in the press that I'm
Lindsay
Kim Kardashian.
Lohan.
Right, but you're just going to rehab.
It's so horrible
that somebody would shit talk her for
saying that, because I'm on the same page as you. You've either been it or you've been through it, and I don't know anyone who doesn't know somebody that has been it or been through it.
Like,
and
even
everybody,
you have a brother, for God's sake.
Yes, like everybody has been affected by some form of addiction.
We have multiple friends, actually.
And even Harrison came up with the term "etards" because the people that she used to hang out with back in the '90s were all on ecstasy and turned into etards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I did that sometimes, but no ecstasy. Not an etard.
My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah. Lots of ecstasy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it happens.
So far, knock wood, I've not had to go
through that. That was the big controversy, but there were big...
Well, the other controversy, and forgive me if I'm saying exactly the same thing I was out at the very beginning in a different way, is that this was coined the saddest Emmys.
Yeah, he did bring that up.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you said that.
Kept bringing the mood down, and Neil Patrick Harris actually got kind of iffy reviews.
I just see, and I thought he was, I thought it was on point, and I missed half of it because, like, what the fuck, 5 p.m.?
I have it recorded. What if you want to watch it after,
after I play the song for you.
Thank you, because why are you going to start me at 5 p.m.? I was cleaning out my garage. I was hanging some, I was like,
because
drilling
award
some shit.
Shows are now live. We no longer go in the vacuum and watch them in the real time.
Because of social media, they have no choice, because if they started
I thought 7.
No.
I was ready for 7.
No, but 7 o'clock our time would be 10 o'clock East Coast time, and you're not going to start a show at 10 o'clock East Coast time.
Nobody there is going to watch it.
And like you said, with Twitter and Facebook
so
and anything else.
So it didn't really start at 7.
Winners,
7 their time.
They start in prime time on East Coast.
Unless you do what he does, which is
you came to my Oscars party.
Yeah,
they're
I
on that early.
Drinking.
She was there delayed,
but
though.
Oscars still, and they, the one thing the Oscars always try to keep right, no matter where they bump that, because they used to be late March. They used to fall around Doug's birthday. They used to always be late March.
Hey,
but they
Doug,
would,
also. Yeah,
they would make sure that they didn't get into the 3-hour time change.
Got it.
Actually, that makes no sense at all because it's just Arizona, so that's just bullshit. Mm-hmm. They never did that. I just thought they did.
Well, you made it sound really, really
welcome.
Good.
Welcome, hallelujah. I'm like, welcome, yes, to Al's delusional world.
Hallelujah. Hey, that's all
it's
made up.
Anyway, entertainment. I thought it was great. I thought,
the only award shows that was ever live, and the only reason that the Oscars always stay my favorite is that was the only live award show up until 2 years ago when the Golden Globes switched.
The song in the middle of the show, yeah, which I loved. I love Neil Patrick Harris. I think he's amazing.
Okay, on that point, I would like to go through and do a screenshot. Email it to Neil Patrick Harris or whoever the choreographer was and find out who the first guy on the left-hand side was, because that's all I really care about.
Neil Patrick Harris loved him as well.
I loved him.
Like, this is the guy that lifted me up.
He makes me high.
Then we need to watch that again, because I was like, who is that guy? He's adorable.
He comes back again and he spun him again.
God, Neil Patrick Harris, I'm sorry. You are talented.
He really is.
You are funny. You are amazing. You are gorgeous. You are perfect.
I agreed with what Kathy Lee said today on Today, which, by the way, Cher was on this morning and was fantastic. I'm sure you're going to get to that, too.
Yeah, she looks but, really
lots of work. Yeah, I like it, though.
But,
lots of work.
Kathy Lee,
70.
New work. No, but she looks great.
Yeah, she
doesn't
does
look like Joan Rivers. I got lots of
if
work done.
If you had that money, well, Joan got a... It's different.
Come on, that's different. Butchered.
Yeah, but Joan went from Joan to now.
Yeah, right. Thank you. She's working from Joan to Joan, yeah, and Cher to Cher.
She has an HSN face.
Come on, Cher, though.
I think Joan looks better than
that. But one of the things that I agreed with Kathy Lee on, and I don't agree with her on much, except she should drink next to Hoda. I want to drink next to Hoda and have a TV show.
I agree with both of them.
I agreed. I thought the TV segment in the beginning was too long. It was too much.
Yeah,
the intro was way too much. Okay. Well, I haven't recorded
it. The opening segment was
too much.
Almost 15, 20 minutes.
No, it wasn't that long.
It was long.
But it was double what it should have been. Whatever it was too long.
Yeah.
In the middle of the song.
But that was funny. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I love when he did the dance break. The dance break in the song, in the that's middle funny. Of the song, in the middle of the show. And I was like, you're clever. You're
I did have a couple
so
people
smart.
Ask why we don't do dance
breaks. And I got, we could put those back in.
I'll
occasion.
Do it.
What I did find interesting, the actor and actress that came out and did the number with him, clearly are just used to being on set and acting.
Oh my God, they're funny.
They were Sarah having Silverman. Cardiac arrest Boom. After the thing at the end of when they all did they struck the pose.
Oh no, that was an act.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was. It's Sarah Silverman doing that.
She doesn't strike me as somebody who's ever danced or can do
she's
anything.
Not, probably not. I'm with Clayton.
Oh my God,
she's not a dancer.
That
no,
was
no,
a
is
joke.
She?
That oh, they were because they had done nothing. They stepped off stage for 5 minutes. They walked off stage.
I didn't see any of it, but Sarah Silverman is not a dancer.
I know, but it's a yes? joke. It's Nathan Fillion.
I also didn't see them dancing.
It's Nathan Fillion from the Dr. Morrible's. What's Neil Patrick Harris's big thing? The Joss Whedon produced. Oh, you guys know nothing.
Yes, but it's the Bones or something.
No, yeah, but he is...
Something like that.
He's the cult classic. He's from Serenity and Firefly. He's the captain that everybody loves. But he did Dr. Morrible's Horrible Adventure, where he's the guy after Neil Patrick Harris, and it's the musical number that they do.
Okay.
It's a big musical that they wrote and
produced.
Of course
it is. I totally know what you're talking about.
God, I forget you guys know nothing about pop culture.
So
what? What?
They have this.
Apparently, we know nothing.
Not if you haven't seen.
If you play back, if you play back,
we don't have HBO. That's all that we don't have.
We know nothing.
But that's how YouTube got. One of the ways that YouTube got big was Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion doing the evil doctor and the good doctor going at each other in this musical that they wrote.
Okay.
And it's a big thing.
They wrote it.
Joss Whedon wrote it. So, and I can't explain who he is. So what they did was Sarah Silverman, one of the greatest comedians, like they walked off stage for the dance number and they came back out and went, ta-da.
Oh, okay.
To make it look like they'd been in the whole number. And
wait,
they were
Neil
off...
Patrick Harris and who?
No, Nathan Fillion and yeah.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. Hey, by the way. I have been.
I was focusing.
I have been rescheduled.
You've
got to
watch my. I try
to
keep people
it.
Up on my Facebook page and all this entertainment. Stuff.
Doctors.
I.
No. What? Doctor something or other. It's Dr. Morrible's Horrible something or other.
There you have it.
Okay. You got. I know you have more. So we will continue entertainment. I'm sure. Do you have something you can do for 60 seconds?
All right. Well, the Dexter finale was on, and it was. I don't even know how to describe it. No, it was so good. Now, of course, any finale, some people are going to like it. Some
I feel like
people
were disappointed. I feel like I heard
that's the what I got.
Twitterverse was upset. Right?
I heard Will and Grace ended.
Is there any show years ago, maybe.
Is Archie Bunker still on?
Is there any show ending that Twitter didn't say was this horrible?
I'm sorry, season ending or series ending?
Series ending. It was the end of Dexter.
Boom.
And I think they had one limitation in that Jeff Lindsay still writes the books. So I think they had a limit. Yeah, I think they had a little limitation on what they could do.
Does that mean they could potentially come back?
No.
If he writes more books.
No, but it was, and they really, I don't want to spoil anything because I know people are like 8 years behind on Dexter, or you've just never watched it because you're completely retarded.
I will at some point, but don't call me retarded.
I will. To miss Dexter, I'm serious. It is just one of the greatest shows ever. And
I will watch it someday.
They sold the deal and they kept the main love interest together and they did it justice and they did, he did his final kill and it was spectacular. His final kill was just spectacular.
People were up in arms though. That's what you're just saying, right? Like, because I feel like I heard people were like,
but they bitched about Lost, they bitched about Friends, they bitched about... I've never heard of a show ending where someone didn't get on Twitter and say, fuck you. And Bill Maher this week, and I know none of you watch it, but Bill Maher this week did a whole thing about the cowardliness of Twitter and not justifying. Because he's like, somebody said, fuck you, aren't you dead yet to Betty White. He goes through all the Twitter things, and he's like, come on, Betty White, you're going to put shit on the... Like, Twitter's just a pussy move.
Who does that?
That's
right,
just a pussy move.
Right.
But we'll get into the real Emmys in a minute.
We're going to come back and the beginning of Hour 3 with Al Perkins, continuing on with his entertainment section. Also coming up, some sports stuff from Katie June. Whew, we have a lot more to happen. And also, I think we all took a test from Dr. Phil. Do we all have our results?
Yes.
Yes, I
got to find mine.
No, you can take you got hers.
I'm
we got
doing it right now.
Also coming up, the second half of Hour 3 is Thoughtful Vulgarity. Yeah, so much to happen, so much to enjoy. Get a drink. We'll see you in a minute right here on Cue Talk America.
You've been listening to The Show on Cue Talk America. This is Cue Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, 9 o'clock, coming to you live from the Studio C in Central Phoenix. My name's Clayton McKee. Thank you for joining us. I'm here alongside Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. They make up the cast of The Show. We do it every Tuesday nights from 7 to 10, Arizona time. We thank you for listening no matter where you are, Kuwait, Canada, the United States. So many people listening out there.
Oh, it was Lola from Toronto. Wasn't it Lola that used to be in the chat room with us?
There was somebody. I remember that.
Her name was Lola.
She was a showgirl.
Yep. She was a showgirl.
Allegedly. We're not sure.
She worked from 8 till 4. She Barry didn't have time for a better rhyme.
In love with Tony.
Somebody like Tony.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
All right. So first, I have to help you all out because I really don't know how you do this without me.
Can I finish this intro?
God damn it. God damn it.
Wow. I'm just trying to start off hour 3 and how things it's
I'm in the middle of a giant pity fuck.
When we left you in the end of hour 2, if you weren't listening, Al was in the middle of the entertainment section. We also have coming up our Thoughtful Vulgarity. Also, Katie coming up with a little sports segment, which she's very excited about because of something that some lesbians
did. Big night for the lesbies.
Also, we're going to talk about our Dr. Phil test results coming up in just moments. And they're good test results, not bad. But as we continue on with hour 3, we turn it back to Al Perkins, who is talking about the Emmys and entertainment and so many other things. Al, take it away.
Well, we just have to stop it right here because I cannot believe that you've made it to 2013. Autumn of, and have not heard of Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
No, yeah.
I
feel good about
not. When did you hear about it?
About 5 years ago. When it's what got YouTube started, and it's how Neil Patrick Harris got all these gigs. Like, that's,
by the way, I'm very upset that you have never heard about something I couldn't mention about 10 minutes ago.
I told you it was Dr. Horrible's Morbles. I just didn't know what the official name was.
What's it called, Doctor?
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. And it's because I know, but it pisses me off. Because I worry.
It's retarded, doesn't it?
I worry for your soul. It does.
Like, really?
Okay.
I worry for your soul.
Hallelujah. All right. That's our drinking word, by the way.
Clearly, I am your guide to all TV because everything that I watch on TV won Emmys in all surprise categories. The Colbert Report, have I not been saying all year that he's been hitting it out of the park?
I know. And the Emmys this year.
And he did.
At the 12 Emmys. Solid months of reporting that Stephen Colbert would win the Emmy this year. And he didn't win one. No. He won two.
Multiple.
And remember when I told you that the big thing to watch was the Big C's Hereafter and that they went for a miniseries because it was so good? And who won Best Actress in a Miniseries? Was it Laura Linney, who I get confused with Marianne?
May have been.
From Tales of the City. And she won Best Actress in a Miniseries over just about everybody. Yep, it was Laura Linney. That was her.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Good for you, Laura.
Apparently this is the segment of the show where Al's like, fuck you, I was right about everything. Which is different than any other show.
Every other
week? Hallelujah. Yeah.
And remember when I tell you to watch award shows for how funny they are and how funny the show Veep is? And if you don't have HBO, you're really missing out on something.
But wait, I think you're a fucking R word.
No. That.
Wait, what? Okay.
That only goes for Dr. Horrible.
Remember how I missed some of
checking
this?
I'm checking his temperature.
Veep, what did they win?
I like it.
What the fuck are you doing if you're missing this part? So anyways,
I missed the whole, I missed up until the Corey Monteith situation.
Okay. So every year, the best actresses in a comedy, because they're all friendly, have gotten together. And one year they did the beauty pageant thing where they stood on stage together, unexpected to the producers, and held hands. And then someone won and they acted like it was a beauty contest. And then last year, Julia Louis-Dreyfus won. Mm-hmm. And she, actually 3 years ago, they all wore funny glasses. And last year, they exchanged thank you. They exchanged their thank yous. So in case they won, they would read someone else's acceptance speech.
Ah.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus got up and read
it was not
Parks and Recreation.
Puller.
Yeah, Amy Poehler read her thank you note.
That was
this year they decided, and they did it very last minute to do it in character. So Tony Hale won for Veep for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy.
Love him.
Extremely gracious.
So perfect.
Mm-hmm. And it was a lovely win because he could have been nominated for Arrested Development, but they went there. And then Julia Louis-Dreyfus won almost immediately after, and he somehow made it to his seat. In case, and that was the weird thing, because that press room takes a long time.
Usually
the winner
doesn't. They're not back.
But he was back. So they announced Julia Louis' name, and she stood up, and I think everyone wondered if she would really do it, not knowing what was going to happen. But she stopped, looked back, and barked at him to take her purse, and she did it in Veep character, where he stood behind her and whispered, thank your family. I'd like to thank my family. I love them.
I saw all of that, but I didn't understand the backstory.
Hey, Katie. He's got a DVR. We're gonna watch.
I can't wait. Literally, I already texted Kelly and Stanley.
I know. No, I feel good about it though because I'm excited about that.
Bobby Cannavale, who I'm always talking about.
I saw him win.
I'm happy to see him do.
I didn't realize he was with Rose Byrne, and I love her.
Love her. Mm.
Now we have to remember
Damages.
Mm-hmm. I talk about all the time.
And
Nurse Jackie. I'm not a big fan.
Hysterical.
I don't particularly
say again.
Nurse Jackie. I don't particularly love Nurse Jackie.
I love Nurse Jackie, and I love that girl. But what was the deal? She won, and everyone
was upset. Talking, and I'll tell you.
Go.
Wow.
I'm very tired.
Hashtag shut up, Katie.
Check mark camera.
Hallelujah.
Crowd. Very tired.
Uh-huh. That's what the show should be called, On the Way to My Sleep Meds.
Yeah. So I've been saying all along that show's not really a comedy. The only person in a comedy is Nurse Zoe.
She's so good.
We've been talking about it for years. Mm-hmm. Nurse Zoe is my favorite character. Last year when she got nominated.
We've been on 18 months.
I know. I'm like, it has
But
been
this is the second year of Emmys. And when she got nominated last year for the first time, I said,
she's amazing.
She'll never win, but isn't it great that someone noticed that she's the only person in a comedy in that show? And Bobby Cannavale is also on Nurse Jackie. And then this year, I said, I read the nominations, I'm like, and once again, Merritt Weaver, for no reason, is getting nominated. No one gets what she's doing. She's in a completely different show.
She's hilarious.
So she wins Best Supporting Actress. She's completely over, and she says holy shit right into the camera, much to the horror of everyone on TV.
I missed that. We'll have to watch that. I missed that.
She gets up on stage, and she says, thank you, thank you. She starts to cry, and she's like, I gotta go.
And she walks off.
And she walks away.
It's so her. It's so her character.
Yeah, so her character.
It's amazing.
One line, I gotta go. And it was the greatest moment. And Neil Patrick Harris was best speech ever. Because it was kind of Nurse Zoe in character. I gotta go.
But she did say in the interview that she was about to lose it and she didn't want to do it in front of everybody, so she just walks away.
You can see it come over her
face. I can't believe she won an Emmy!
Because she had the same thought. She had the same thought that I did. It's like, you know, that's so charming. She's the one nominee of every single one that I said, it's an honor to be nominated. Like, you didn't even have to buy a dress. There's no way you're going to win in this competition.
Well, you know, she's also a guest character on New Girl.
On New Girl.
And she's just awesome. I love her.
And I think that helped her chances. I think even though New Girl got no love this year, I think that helped her. And then the best one, because I tried to get you all to watch The Newsroom, because I think it's fantastic.
I started, by the way. Also, House of Cards started that.
So just remember when you get caught up on Newsroom, that while we're going through this whole sarin gas thing in Syria, they were doing, without any warning, a sarin gas story.
Before this happened.
In the same time. Oh. They were like, they've been on the sarin gas story.
But they didn't know it was going to happen.
No, they didn't know it was going to happen. It's slightly different, but they've been on the sarin gas story. So Jeff Daniels, in the biggest upset of the night, because everyone thought the guy from Breaking Bad would win.
Duh. It's their last season. They won best show, blah, 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 blah.
But because the show ended last night, they'll be in competition. They can compete one more time. But Breaking Bad did win best drama.
And so that was they should have.
That was a big win, because it was their first win after three nominations and a big deal. There's a show called Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it's the guys that made
Andy
Parks
Samberg.
Andy
Samberg. I fucking love it.
So
I'm like
good.
Into it. Is Hello, it Captain. Smart? Welcome to the murder.
Is it smart?
Like, it is.
Welcome to the murder.
I mean, like, smart funny. Like, just stupid.
It totters that line.
Dads, another show by Fox, fucking stupid. Don't watch it. A couple other shows by Fox, but this is an NBC show?
I can't remember what. No.
Is it Fox?
It's on before New Girl, so I think it's on Fox.
Regardless, it's Andy Samberg.
It's on tonight.
I have to give him love just because he's funny, and I love Justin Timberlake. He does Justin Timberlake. No, he's good, though.
No, I'm just saying, it's not that he's not good. He just kind of annoys me.
And he's made every bad movie possible. Right. Yeah. So he had to do something.
But this show's actually...
Well, because it's almost like... I'm glad that he's doing this because he got out of Adam Sandler.
Yes.
He got out of his shadow.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
This show is not super smart, but it's funny.
Yeah.
It is funny.
And it was a nice,
he has a good sense of humor.
Yeah. It was a very nice 30 minutes. I thought it was a nice ensemble. And I
really.
Ensemble.
It's French.
But I had to give the credit across the board for keeping me entertained.
Yeah, it was fun.
For 22 solid minutes. And there's another show with Alice and Janney who. Hopefully
Mom.
I don't have to. I
love
yeah.
Alice
which, so
and
they
Janney.
They have Dads like, on Fox, no which is fucking stupid with Seth Green. Miss it. Skip it. But Mom, I just love Alice and Janney. And that other girl.
Yeah, I do too.
Her hair's a little too blonde for
Who's
me.
She's from the Scream movies. I can't think of her
name. Oh my God. And she.
In the Bunny movie. She was the House Bunny movie. She actually has a really long string of
super
hits.
Super blonde.
Yeah.
Little too blonde for
her
me.
Her name's not coming to me, but she has. It starts
with an A. Anna Faris.
Anna Faris.
What?
Yeah, you got it.
Pop superstar.
But I have to tell you that the Alice and Janney, it's not super, super laugh out loud funny, but it's so well written. It really was a well written episode about two people going through AA, a mother and daughter going through AA.
Mm-hmm. And I actually like that clip when they go, and she's like, we're in Alcoholics Anonymous. She's like, it's Alcoholics Anonymous, not Alcoholics Tell You Later.
Right.
But it really went deeper than snarky comments. Like, they really did address, like, their relationship. It was another one like Nurse Jackie. It's not really a comedy. Like, I'm kind of hesitating to call it a comedy, but it's a 30-minute show. There was some, when they got a laugh, it was
dramedy.
Honest. A dramedy. And when they got a laugh, it was honest. That's a real thing.
The sister of rom-com.
Yeah. But
Sorry.
It really was an honest laugh when you got it, but the rest of the time you really bought into both of them as, because they're both in recovery, teenage daughter of a teenage daughter, so some kind of like real issues. Kind of parenthoody. It had a feel to
really?
It.
I love
it,
that show.
Yeah, it was on Monday nights. It's 30 minutes. It's an easy 22 minutes. And Alice and Janney
Alice and Janney's great.
Yeah, she's perfect. And they were just, they just rolled through it. It ended and I was like, I could have watched another half hour of that and I'd been fine. So
what about Kerry Washington losing out? I was surprised. Were you?
Yeah, but the Emmys are lazy. They always give... They just keep, they're very, this was the first year they've really not just
who
repeated
could be,
the
who
same thing
are the
over
Emmy
again.
Voters? Because they should have given I love Homeland and Scandal, but they should have given it to Kerry Washington.
It's a blue ribbon panel because if you work in TV, there's very little chance that you can watch all those shows. So they pick a blue ribbon panel.
What does that mean?
That means that they take a group of people that say, I have time to watch this stuff.
I have time to watch it.
And then
can
everybody
I be on the panel?
But they're usually in the industry. And then you, and this is Sofia Vergara's problem from what I've read, is then you get nominated for the whole season. Somebody has watched the whole season and they nominate you, and the nominating committee's bigger. But for the win, Sofia Vergara has to pick one episode of the 22 and say,
this is my submission.
This is my submission. This is the episode. And that's why they have episodes.
I wondered how they do that.
And usually it's
directing for blah, blah episode.
Yeah. Right. And no, but for directing, because there's 22 different directors. So you get nominated for your episode.
Right. Yeah.
But the actors pick the one, and usually it's the one where you're pregnant and have the baby, because that's how Phoebe won for Friends, and it's how Jennifer Aniston won for Friends. Anytime somebody has a baby, guaranteed Emmy, because you mix comedy with drama. If it goes too drama and it's not funny, you lose, but you got to get funny. And what they keep saying about Sofia Vergara is she is, for some reason, so magnanimous that she picks episodes where she's kind of funny, but her co-stars look better.
Oh.
And they said that they want to call her agent. Entertainment Weekly's like, we want to call her agent and tell her,
quit submitting other people.
And there's and they say that it may be that when they're watching Sofia's episode, because she picks the one where everybody shines, that that's how they keep winning best comedy. That they're like, well, we just watched that episode and it was
and
so
that
funny.
Was funny as shit.
Right. And they,
but not her so much.
But they said, because the one year she picked the worst, because this year I didn't go that deep into the Emmys to find out what they did. But the last 2 years, I had to agree that both times she picked Claire's episode over hers.
Like, well, I feel like Claire is a funnier character than her.
I don't think so at all. I think Sofia has so the one with El Diablo where she's obsessed with that dog that's dressed as a butler is just fucking hysterical.
I love Claire. I love her like straight play at the comedy.
So I mean, it's just funny things, and they're saying that this Q&A episode, and I have to agree with them because it won for best writing. The Q&A episode of Homeland was amazing. And they said that Carrie...
Oh, Homeland's one of my favorite shows of all
time. They said that just episode to episode that Carrie Washington probably just did not submit an episode where she shined as much.
Somebody's saying hi to you in the chat room.
So you mentioned Carrie Washington and she...
Oh, Braun, hey!
Braun Pfeiffer?
Braun Pfeiffer?
Braun really did not like the Dexter finale.
Oh, hi, Braun.
Oh, no. Hey, Braun. No. How are
you? You bring up Carrie Washington. I was at... My Sunday changed a little bit. I spent the entire afternoon and evening with mom, which was wonderful. We had dinner.
Nice.
We watched the Emmys. Yeah. I updated her iOS on both things. It was a wonderful, actually, afternoon. But we watched the Emmys. So Kerry Washington walks out. And who did she walk out next to?
Diane Carroll. Looks amazing.
Diane Carroll is...
Ooh, I don't know who she is, but she's
Diane
amazing,
Carroll is 78 years old.
Right.
Formerly married to Vic Damone.
And the phrase black don't crack is clearly working for her.
Sure.
She was, and I forget
and Cher.
I forget the character name, but she was on Dynasty. What was her character name? Al, do you remember this on Dynasty?
Dominique Devereaux.
She was
right out of my
such
ass.
A black
Hallelujah.
Name.
Right.
That's
so
fantastic.
In the world of
right out of my ass.
Linda
fantastic.
Evans, Joan Collins, John Forsythe,
Diane Carroll.
All characters of the early 80s. Dynasty with big shoulder pads.
She looked gorgeous.
She looked fantastic.
And she's the first black woman ever nominated for Best Lead Actress.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
in a
drama.
And that was in the 60s?
Late 60s, early 70s,
yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. So it was just very cool to see her because immediately mom and I were like, wow, she looks fantastic. And she was fantastic. Because you don't see her. And I think basically she's done... I don't want to say she's done nothing. She's probably done something here or there since Dynasty went off the air. But I think she pretty much is one of those people that kind of just checked out and said, okay, I'm going to live on residuals and be done with this for a while. And she checked out, I'm guessing. Do you know anything else about her, Al?
No.
She's still alive.
She's still trying to work. I want to say...
I don't know. I'm just saying.
But I don't know that she's done much else since Dynasty.
If I had to pull something completely out of my ass, I want to say that after Vic Damone died, she was... heartbroken and that she's kind of stayed to herself.
Understandable. And I haven't seen him in a long or heard from him in a long time.
He's dead.
I know.
Vic Damone?
No.
He's dead.
Don't know who he is, but he's dead.
Vic's son, Perry Damone, used to work for KEZ here in town and was a DJ in the afternoons. Perry, and I knew Perry. I never met his dad, Vic, but I knew Perry.
Was a DJ?
Yeah, it was an afternoon DJ on KEZ 99.9 in Phoenix. Perry Damone. Absolutely. So
I don't remember and
Vic used to come in with Beth and Bill in the morning and just say hi and sing and chat.
I remember that.
Absolutely.
I remember that.
But Perry was his Perry is Vic's son.
Vic lived DeMone. Did he sing that song?
Is she gonna dance again?
What the fuck is she doing? I have good news and bad news. Vic DeMone is still very much alive.
They got divorced apparently.
They divorced in 96
There you
and
go.
I think she hasn't worked since they were divorced.
Oh,
because he's been happily married for 15 years to someone named Rena Rowan.
Who is who's not Diane Carroll.
She's a whore.
But Diane Carroll looks fantastic.
Is she white?
She really does. No, Diane Carroll.
And how?
No.
She's definitely not white.
Oh, the new woman.
Rita Romero.
The new Ms. DeMone.
Right.
Yeah, I have no fucking idea. Wow. Al, have we wrapped up what you call entertainment?
Yeah, we're done. But Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
I wrote that down.
Well, October, if I do nothing else this fucking week, it's going to be that.
October 13th, I'm hosting a...
Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
We're not going to be in town. Not that. I'm hosting the Walking Dead premiere party.
Oh.
I thought I invited you, Al.
You did.
Clayton, would you like
both of you guys are invited.
When is this? What day?
October 13th is a Sunday.
I'm not sure after I called you all retards.
Where is this?
Do you think?
Where is it?
At my home. I'm going to have some...
if I only knew where you lived.
I may or may not have... Shut the fuck up.
Super far away.
You were there today, so you definitely know. I may or may not have drinks with dry ice. I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
I have a couple of other fans arriving, and by that I mean my cousin and my aunt and Doug Wilkie will also be there.
Oh.
Yeah, he was invited. Okay. So it's going to be fun.
Invited doesn't mean he'll show up.
Well...
I'm not sure. Does he watch?
He says he does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Doug... If
Jimmy Galvin,
Jimmy Galvin.
Okay, let me just. Can I talk to Jimmy Galvin for just one game moment?
Why don't we just go ahead and separate here? Go ahead.
So, just for a second, it's my show. Thank you.
Al doesn't think so.
Jimmy Galvin. Nope. If you've been on Facebook, and I can't imagine that any of you have been because it's so not popular.
What's it called?
Facebook.
Twitterbook.
MySpace. That's the one.
Tweakerbook.
Anyway. Jimmy Galvin poked me on there. But apparently you can poke people. I don't poke back. I don't poke people. I don't poke people on Facebook. So I just let you know. Don't be offended if I just deleted your poke and have moved on. So there you go.
Is that rude to delete a poke?
I delete a lot of things. I'm invited to a lot of events. I just delete.
There's one on October 13th I heard about that.
That I'm not involved in? Yeah.
We're invited to.
Yeah, Doug's going. So I have to wait and see if Doug shows up, there's that.
I know, but we're not going to explain people
the
to
villainous.
You.
No, we shouldn't. Katie June?
I don't want to be
I think it's time to go to your, alleged sports.
I only have a couple of headlines, which is perfect.
That's
for
all
this
we need
crew.
Because we've only got 10 minutes left in the segment. Here we go.
This week is
sports.
The Mercury advance to the semifinals. The NBA is planning a nickname jersey.
What?
And college football is uniting. We've got lots of things happening
in sports.
Hell yeah.
All righty, Katie June, there you go.
So it's only a couple of headlines this week because I know that I tend to get pushed to the end of the show, and I'm okay with that as everyone else is.
Oh, I did too. Entertainment didn't start till 5 to 9.
Well, headlines took forever because we had so much quality things to talk about.
Lots of things going on.
I'm going to work on the pie charts. We're going to change some things.
No. I'm not complaining, but I will say that, so the first thing that's most important that I can really speak from the heart is the WNBA. Our Phoenix Mercury. You live in Phoenix. Okay, they're yours too, whether you want them or not.
Bitch.
We made it to the
NBA finals.
WNBA finals.
Like Western Conference.
Yeah, but it wasn't even Western Conference, to be totally honest. Well, no, it was the Western Conference.
Oh, I thought we were on our way to the Western Conference now.
I'm
against...
so fucking confused, aren't
Hold
you?
Please.
There's
I'm sorry,
the
I don't know all of the conference.
And then there's the West finals.
Thank you. Yeah. This is the Western Conference semifinals.
All right, okay.
I mean, I would guess.
So
I try to pay attention to you
Thank
guys'
you.
Segments.
I literally
you don't know anything about mine.
I know that most. I know everything about
Mercury. I can't afford your segment.
I never pay attention to what the title is.
I like it because you know anything about mine. I don't know yours.
Yeah,
big baby,
tired and bitchy.
And he is.
Every week.
And how.
I'm going to buy him those fucking sleeping clothes.
The Merc played the L.A. Sparks, who had a better record than us. We went into the... We went into this series. It's a best of three series, so it's real short. And we went in.
So are most
players. They were a lot better than we were going in. They have a couple of really incredible players. Candace Parker and Christy Tolliver are superstars, as do we. Mm-hmm. But they.
You got a little uptight at the game.
Oh, it was really intense.
Bad calls, really, as I recall.
Oh, thank you.
Pretty sure
real
she wrote
bad
a strongly
calls.
Worded letter.
Real, really, really bad calls by the refs. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, if we've ever talked about the WNBA before,
never
know that the refs are fucking awful. I'm sorry, but you are the like reject refs, which is really sad because the WNBA is not reject players. They're not reject like right. sports, but. Every ref that can't make it somewhere else ends up in the WNBA, and it's bullshit.
That's very unfair.
It's
well,
bullshit.
They went from the NFL.
Even
yeah.
No. I will tell you so much that
buddy
even
early on the line.
All right, so game one we have in LA. Phoenix wins. Yeah. In LA, right?
Huge.
So big upset to LA. Now, when we've met, we had met at that point six times after the first game. We've met six times, 3-3. They won three, we won three. So it was really an even, really solid matchup. So the second game happened in Phoenix, and LA won. And the third game happened last night in LA. So you tend to think that the home team has the advantage, blah, 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 blah. Well, the ESPN announcers even acknowledged that the refs were fucking Phoenix over so bad.
Is that a quote?
Well. From me.
Right,
yes.
Okay. I'll have the euphemism,
hashtag
please.
Katie June. That we were getting screwed so bad on all the calls. I think at one point towards the end of the game, the announcer referenced that this is just ridiculous. Let these girls play this game. Like, let the girls play basketball. And it was the second night in a row that the announcers had acknowledged, the second game in a row, that Phoenix was being... really screwed. And I think, you know, one of the things was is that Candace Dupree, one of our superstars, got a technical. We had three technicals last night. Candace Dupree for throwing her arms in the air. Apparently that's illegal. But if you really watched back, she did like one arm. Could have been anything. Maybe it was a fly. Maybe she was swatting a bug. maybe. Dawana Bonner.
Maybe.
On the court.
Dawana Bonner made a basket and then ran back and was essentially cheering and did a yes yell to the side. That was a technical. Somehow.
You are funny.
Oh, we were pissed. And Diana Taurasi got a technical. Now, hers are always well-deserved because she got a mouth that don't quit.
Apparently, according to Harrison, so do I, but go ahead.
So, anyhow, it was a really intense game. It was fantastic. Brittany Griner, in my opinion, sucked balls. I'm sorry, ooh. Brittany. Yeah.
I doubt that really happened, though.
She did not
so.
Do that.
Metaphorically.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Al.
I like it.
But she was horrible. And Kelly, like I had said earlier, our neighbors may or may not have thought that a beating.
Domestic violence was happening at your house.
Because our doors were open because it was beautiful. Palmer was asleep, so Kelly and I were fully focused on the game. And Kelly was, and this is like, it's fun. She loves women's basketball, and it's really fun to watch with her. And she was really intense and yelling, "What the hell are you thinking? What the hell was that?" And I'm going, our neighbors for sure think I'm getting beat. Because I'm silent. Like, I was, like, half working and, like, half doing that. So I'm not even talking. And occasionally you just hear me go, woo! I mean, it could have been a yell, a scream, an abuse. I don't know. But it was – we had a lot of fun. The game was really tight. Both teams were vying for moving to the next round. Candace Parker from the LA Sparks has never made it. She has no championships. And she's one of the most celebrated players in the WNBA. For her, this was a replay of last year when they lost to Minnesota.
Oh, I was going to say the Lynx, yeah.
And she was devastated. And honestly, I love her as a player. It was, if she wouldn't have beaten our, if our team wouldn't have been the ones to beat her, I would have been sad for her. Brittany Griner sucked. She looked like she had no idea what was going on. She came in at the very last minute with a quick shot, a quick basket that actually put us over the edge, and in the last 7 seconds, there were 7 seconds to go, We dribbled the ball down the court. Brittany Griner puts it in the basket. We use 4.9 seconds on the clock. We're able to stop LA.
You need to be an announcer.
From the other side.
I like how you're doing this.
Yeah, good. I mean, I was it was really exciting.
Well played.
And but the problem was is just post game, everyone is on Twitter going, Griner's my girl. Yeah, Brittany Griner. And Kelly and I are like, this bitch looked blind and deaf for half this game. And I'm not joking you.
Helen Keller has joined the WNBA.
Literally not joking you. She was like literally standing on the court. Was she there? I don't know. Was she high, drunk, clueless, scared? I don't know. Like, name an emotion other than...
Can we be sued for any of this? Because I don't think drunk and high are emotions.
Name an emotion or...
They can be.
Name a state of being other than, like, total shock and paranoia.
Comatose?
And she was there.
Maybe
she was. Mm-hmm. She was, like, freaked out. And I, at one point, I was texting my friend Travis Shoemake. You may or may not know him from the Palo Alto.
Oh,
he's gorgeous.
God.
Yes. Travis and I were texting during the game. And I said, what the fuck? And he goes, that is one big, dumb, lucky bitch. Like, literally, she...
So Travis hasn't changed much.
No.
Good.
Not.
Tom, I love him. That's awesome.
He hasn't changed much.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So I could go on and on. It was a really, really exciting game. And we advanced to the quarterfinals, right? Is that what the semifinals?
Quarterfinals. Against the number one team now, right?
The number one team, the Minnesota Lynx.
See how I pay attention to the people's segments?
So this is going to be.
Watch and learn, bitches.
This is.
Shut up, Dexter.
It's going to actually be really.
Watch and learn, bitches.
It'll be really intense. So the first. First game is this Thursday. It's going to be televised on ESPN or ESPN2. El Ocho, if you will.
Yeah. It's right. Almost as far.
But either way, I would invite you all to watch. If you'd like to come to my house to watch, we'll have it on.
When is that?
It's
on.
It's Thursday.
Thursday. Mm-hmm. I wasn't listening.
So it'll be exciting.
I may have to see someone else named Braun.
Next game is actually on Sunday. It's a home game, and Mercury will need your support. So if you... Any of the three of you are listening, or anyone out there listening that live in town, come to the game. Literally message me for tickets. I can get
lower
you tickets.
Lower expectations.
Last game in Minnesota, Kelly and I may or may not try to go. So that's it.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
I can get you a place to stay.
She works in Minneapolis. That's one of her major hubs. So she can get everything paid for, and I just tag along. Okay,
there's no shame in that. Well,
no, moving on. The APU.
Did she get that paid for me as well?
Maybe. I mean, you want
to? I'm willing to be a sister wife.
How about a babysitter? That takes longer.
Wait a minute.
Babysitting, not so much.
I knew she wouldn't look at me.
So listen, let me tell you about APU. Have you heard of this in the last week?
No.
I feel like this is a real buddy early kind of a thing because he loves college football, right?
Yeah, I do not agree with college football.
I don't get it, but I'm trying. So the APU campaign gaining steam. The APU is a number, essentially, I'm going to really dumb it down because I don't know a ton about it. But it is college football players who are basically banding together. Here's what happened. There were a couple of college football players that received quote-unquote favors from either teams or booster club members or supporters. And we're talking about, like, buying me dinner. Like, not like, we're not talking taking me to Ruth's Chris. We're taking... buying me some fucking Taco Bell because I am a broke ass college student and I want to eat some tacos, right?
Still?
And so, I'm helping your college earn millions
thank you.
Of dollars.
So the NCAA is coming down on these players, and some of these players have been getting fucked recently. And one of the specific stories, I don't recall what college it was coming out of, but it
Hallelujah.
Was specifically about Taco Bell tacos. The coach brought him tacos, and the NCAA, somebody somehow found out, ran it up whatever flagpole, and they were in trouble, and this kid got suspended. The coach was in trouble. It's a whole brouhaha. So...
Because they spent money on him.
They spent money on a player.
Yeah.
They're getting the same thing with booster club members who are helping out, and we're not talking buying you cars. We're talking like, here's $50, go to the grocery store, right? Or whatever.
Right.
So the players are starting to kind of rise up against this, and they're saying exactly what you said, Al. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and we are seeing zero. We are getting scholarships, some of us, but even the some of us that are getting scholarships we're getting our college paid for, but we're not getting no stipend, no living expenses, and our job, full-time job, is to play football.
And it's not go to school.
No, it is not go to school. It is to play football, and that's what these kids are saying. And so they started this APU, and it started at somewhere in Georgia, and kind of some of the southern states have really started it.
Because that's where football is real.
And it's expanding.
I completely agree with Harrison right now. They get a college education.
They do get paid. They get a college education.
But you have to live somewhere else, and they're making millions.
Yes, so they have to live somewhere else.
Dollars. Billions.
No, this is
well,
like
tell me billion.
Billion. This is a billion with a B dollar industry.
This is a billion. College football is a $1 billion industry.
Right.
Where the coaches make like Joe Paterno. Well,
right. No, you're right.
Raping students is making $50 million contracts.
Joe wasn't raping students. Helping.
I want to also say to Harrison, I can appreciate that because yes, they're getting a free college education. But you know what? So do a lot of people who just like do really well in their grades. They're getting a free college education. They're not at college.
But nobody.
Those people are at college
them.
To learn.
People aren't scrutinizing them the same way because you don't know that Stephen Hawking isn't out there going, "Hey, I'm going to buy you a house if you come
but
up with."
Exactly.
You know.
People aren't scrutinizing them. But the thing is that football players are not. The kids that get a full ride to college are getting a full ride to go to school, except for athletes. True. They're getting a full ride to go to school and also have a full time job playing a sport that brings in millions
that
of
they
dollars.
Travel. So you figure every Saturday you have to be in another part of the country. You have to travel. And now they have these
you
academic
poor
grades.
Thing and you get to play football.
No, it is. Yeah. It is a full time job.
And you get to play football and you get to do what you love and that you've
and you get concussions and you get the shit kicked out of
but
you.
But that's a choice you're making.
It is a choice you're making, but also they're being hired for a full time job. Like,
not all of them are going to go on to be professional sports players.
Again, not all of them. It's a choice they're making.
It is.
So if they take a deal from Taco Bell and they're going to get suspended and lose?
I'm not saying that. I know. I'm not correct at all.
No, because
I'm just saying the idea of going
and
playing.
It is a choice. It is a choice, but here's the thing. Choice, okay, so I'm like a poor kid from Philadelphia. Yeah. My choice is either not go to college at all.
I'm just a poor boy from a poor family. Actually,
I'm hearing Will Smith.
My choice is I don't go to college at all, or I go on a football scholarship. I get a degree. I get to play football, which is I'm really good at, but then I'm fucking broke. Or I stay home and I work a dead-end job and I'm broke. I mean, I get that they...
And if the colleges were some altruistic society they were like, we're not making any money off this. This is a billion-dollar...
Billion
industry.
With
this
a B.
This is Walt Disney all over again.
Right?
Fucking over the kid in the mouse
that.
Costume.
You're
fucking over these students.
It is exactly what these students are saying. And they're like, you know what? It is time
Walt
for
Disney's
us.
College of football.
It's, yes. It's time for... They're you like, gave us a college education. Great. You're making
billions
of dollars. You can trickle some of that money down to us people.
And they're not even talking about like getting big paybacks. They're talking about changing some collegiate NCAA rules because they're saying the fact that this kid, and it's spurred from a kid I believe who was in Texas, who got the Taco Bell from his coach who was suspended.
Huh?
Because his coach bought him a couple bucks worth of tacos. He's this needs to change.
Harrison's brilliant.
But I'm sorry, Harrison. I cannot disagree.
I can't see you, Harrison. I don't have a computer.
She's saying that it's entertainment.
It is.
It would be entertainment, and that's a lovely thing to think. If it wasn't a $1 billion industry.
Off of the backs of college students.
Right. This is
who may or may not have a choice. They might not have any other road.
And I
than
love the little
football.
Eye roll you're giving. But
no, I'm not eye rolling. I went to say something and then I went, nah, I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah, because it is. You're right. It is entertainment. But it is the entertainment on
it's
the backs
also a
of
choice.
But it is entertainment and a choice.
But
on the back of
if they don't choose those people, they don't get $1 billion industries out of it. If they only pick sucky players
that
have the money
to
go there
but
and live,
these sucky players have the possibility of going on to making millions.
So what they're saying is, give us a little piece.
They're saying then that so APU, excuse me. Is this kind
not
of
a little piece? But if somebody gives us
not
a
even
kickback,
a little piece,
no.
Yeah, if somebody gives us a kickback, you can't
shut the
suspend
fuck
us and end the whole thing.
That's
you
what they're saying.
You can't suspend us and kick us out of the program because someone fed us.
That's exactly what they're saying.
They can't go.
Well, there should be new rules or boundaries, maybe on
thank
something.
You.
And
thank
I'm okay
you.
With
and
that,
that. Is
that's
all
what APU
that they're
is
saying. So APU
but for someone
stands
to say entertainment. This is not entertainment, Harrison.
It's
she
a
watches no
billion
sports.
Dollar business.
It's a billion dollar.
It's
business.
Entertainment for us.
It isn't, but it is entertainment.
So really quickly. APU stands for All Players United, and all they're saying is that let's get players on board to stay. Essentially, they want to unionize.
I know,
which I think is great.
Me too. All union, all the time,
and not for payment. They don't want to be free school plus do what they love and also pay me $1 million. They're like, give us a. They want a stipend to buy food, buy clothes, buy whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a stipend to buy fucking food.
Hallelujah to Clayton. I worked for Disney. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a really...
They don't pay either. Disney does not pay. Yes, it's entertainment, but they're making billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like Walmart. College football is like Walmart. You're making billions of dollars.
On the backs of poor people.
On the backs of poor people. Yeah, that's who's in college. Stop making that face.
You have a choice to go work at Walmart.
I'm agreeing with you.
But you have a choice to work at...
I know what you're making this face. No, it's just pissing me off.
But don't you have a choice to work at Walmart as well?
I'm just not completely agreeing with you.
But you have a choice to go work at Walmart.
You do.
And but you know what you're going to get paid.
You need to make a living,
and they will hire you with no teeth and 50 tattoos on your face. Like, so that's where all you can
and
go.
And they now also give domestic partner benefits.
There is no reason to ever go to Walmart. That is the shittiest corporation in the country. Absolutely not. If I could stand in front of a sign there and shame people for walking in that building, I would do
it. I would stand behind the sign so people could read the sign. It's 9:37. We are in the middle of hour three. We have one segment left, and hopefully this won't... If nothing else has kept you listening, this might.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
All right.
what did you say to me?
I said there's nobody here to ask.
They're going to come back. They're in the kitchen.
All right. So I'm just going to say this in a brief, like, entertainment adjunct.
We're still in entertainment?
I have one little thing. I kept it short, but I forgot one little thing.
Okay.
Prisoners. Because I've been talking about it for weeks, and I thought, I know no one pays attention to my entertainment section.
Somebody does.
But I've been talking about it for weeks, that they brought it to the Toronto Film Festival, and no one was quite sure why. It's because it's a fucking fantastic movie.
Didn't Barbara Seville just watch it today?
Yeah.
We
ran into each other. I was going to text her and see if she wanted to go, and she was going to text me, and we ended up like one show apart. So I'm walking out of Prisoners like completely.
Tell me, because I feel like I shouldn't go.
I would understand your concerns.
I have a baby.
About going. Yes, I would understand. I have to tell you, it is not what you're expecting, and everything that they said at the Toronto Film Festival, when everyone was like, why is this movie playing here? Like, why are we at a film festival with a traditional...
Like a normal, old, scary Pucatelli.
Yeah, like, what the hell is the... What is the point of this movie? Anything that you're expecting as far as, like, oh my god, like, it's the...
Kids get abducted, life is scary, go.
This is the anti-Steven Spielberg movie.
What?
Right when you think you're gonna get to the point where, like, oh my god, now we gotta see the people grapple with the police. You already know that what goes on. Now we're going to get a lecture about when kids are how long you have if a kid's abducted. Nope, fast forward past that. Anything that you already know in your head and you know how it's going to play and you've seen it in a TV movie, oh, they just cut right past it. It's just like...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So it really is the anti-Steven Spielberg.
You're all ready for them to cue to... seriously, like, now we have to call the cops and explain what happened and why does Terrence Howard have... He's had three glasses of wine and just said he was too drunk to play a song. And you're like, oh my god, this is where we're going to waste 40 minutes. Gone. Oh, no. We come to the cop sitting eating a pie. The cop having a piece of pie in the diner. And you're like, oh, we're not even going to show that scene. And then somebody gets drugged. And you know what we don't have? We don't have the blurry camera to show you
that they're drugged.
Who directed this?
Oh, I waited. I was holding. I was
Spielberg.
No, I never heard of this director.
Wait, Steven.
No, he didn't. I never heard of this director.
Because he freaks out every time Spielberg leads you to water and makes you drink.
Right. This movie so does not lead you to water. They build you up to this thing and there's someone like...
No.
They get you to this big climax.
What if you have kids? Like, should you not go see it?
I honestly can't tell you because this movie was so...
The preview gives me anxiety.
And the movie gave me anxiety. And I said either Oxygen or Valium because the last...
Xanax maybe?
I almost peed my pants out of like sheer... nervousness, and just because they wouldn't lead you to water. So I texted Barbara and I'm like, okay, I don't know what, like, I don't understand what the girl
what
said.
What am I supposed to be feeling?
I know.
Steven Spielberg didn't tell me.
That's exactly what I felt, and I loved it.
For those of you wondering why the music is in the background, we are in the Thoughtful Vulgarity segment.
But everybody left, so there's no one to ask a question to.
Al needed to wrap up the entertainment section with something else about a movie.
And there was no one to ask the question to. Everybody left.
So now we've all returned.
I had to go to the loo.
We've all returned to Studio C. We have a few minutes left. Plenty of time to ask a couple of questions. And Al, our first question for the night is...
Well, okay, this is a fun one. Okay, wait.
Three of us are back.
It was right here on my screen. Oh, yeah, we booted you because of the looks you were giving me.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, you were out of the...
If you give Al bad looks...
I'm unnecessarily bitchy today because I am so tired.
Oh, you're adorable.
You're just normal.
It's just kind of fun because the first time I did it and he reacted, I was like, well,
I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep doing
like
that.
You do with certain things, Al.
Okay, now the question was, now because I can't find it, so now I have to...
make up a goddamn question.
I know, no, give me a question. All right, I'm so goddamn tired, people. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Okay, so... I need a situation, and I think we've covered this now that I think about it, because I think I want to know what your answers are going to be.
Chili cook-off.
It's a... 2003.
Wings 2003.
Bingo, chili cook-off.
Yeah, with Braun, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you know what we haven't done? Yeah. You know what we haven't done? I hate to interrupt you, Al, because you interrupt everybody else. We haven't gone over these test results for the doctor.
Oh, wait till you listen back to my entertainment section. I'm not pointing at you directly, but
kind of. We should answer that question first.
Let's answer our question. Then we got our Dr. Phil test results.
I gotta find it where I hit that. All right,
yeah,
go ahead.
All right. So, I wrote down Dr. Phil test. Hang on, I gotta Google it.
Yeah, we have to all...
Okay, so here's the deal. So, Dr. Phil...
I like how you're just gonna jump right in. I enjoy it a lot.
Right?
I enjoy it so much.
Dr. Phil did a personality test. Psych Central. The most important thing is to hear how the results are, and I got to get to that final page.
For Jesus Christ, there are enough ways to lead you up to this thing.
I know. How did I know it?
I'll get there. I'm right here. We're good.
Yeah, you've got the page. Results page. Yeah. Okay. So you just need to tell it. We just need to tell you what our answers were.
Right. No, I got to get through the questions. Keep going. So anyway, there's.
So it's basically a 10 question quiz that's been going around on Facebook, and you know,
you write it down.
The teaser is. These are all of the questions that you need to know about yourself that have never been asked. You know, that kind of thing.
And what was the deal that Oprah got 33 and he did...
And he got a lot higher.
55?
Yeah. What was really... When I did it last night, I was really actually surprised by the result that I got in an interesting way. I wasn't like unhappy with it, but I was surprised.
Okay.
Do you have the result? I know what my number was.
60 points is the highest you can score on the test.
Okay.
Now, Al, have we left your realm of the world? Are we stepping on toes?
Yeah, no, let's do this.
Okay. So anyway, we will put it on our Facebook page. I'll write a note down to that Dr. Phil.
I do it now, but I have no computer.
I understand. Facebook.
Oh, I need a piece of paper and pen.
Oh, we're going to...
I thought this was a test we took a couple weeks ago and we were finally getting the results.
Different test. This is an easier, shorter one.
Everybody ignored my test.
No, I took it.
Oh, no, you took it. No. What do you need, a pen?
Yeah. Where's the pen box?
I get rid of it.
It used to sit in front of me.
I don't like it. Get rid of it. Okay, so now, let's go back. We'll go back and we'll ask the questions. And if you at home want to listen along and play along, we will do this. So this is called Dr. Phil's Test. What you need to do is get a piece of paper. You're going to number 1 through 10, because there's 10 questions. And then next to each number, you're going to put a letter, which is going to correspond with your answer.
This is good, Clayton. I'm glad you're giving it.
So here's how we're doing this. I'm going to turn this music down just a trifle. We're all on camera. We're good. Okay, question number 1. It's an ABC answer. When do you feel you're at your best? A, in the morning, B, in the afternoon or early evening, or C, late at night? Question number 1, when do you feel your best? Morning, A, afternoon, early evening, B, C, late at night.
What if we need an extra, like, flip a coin?
No, you just got to pick.
You got to, yeah. One? If you're inassertive, you shouldn't be taking this test.
And how you feel now. This isn't past. This isn't your past.
Oh, that wasn't being bitchy. That was just honest.
This is just how you are now. This is how you were. This is the snapshot of you now.
Also bitchy.
Thank you.
Question number two.
Ooh, Sean just sent his number in.
You usually walk A, fairly fast with long steps, B, fairly fast with little steps, C, less fast, head up, looking the world in the face, D, less fast, head down, or E, very slowly. Mm. Again, question two, you usually walk fairly fast with long steps, A, or B, fairly fast with little steps? Answer C is less fast, head up, looking the world in the face. Number or letter D, less fast, head down, or E, very slowly.
Can they see our answers?
No.
Okay, good.
They aren't that good at cameras. Question three. When talking to people, you, A, stand with your arms folded.
Oh, this is my hard one.
B, have your hands clasped.
Oh, that wasn't hard at all.
C, have one or both of your hands on your hips or in your pockets. D, touch or push the person whom you're talking. Really? You're just going to...
Boom! That's you think laugh. That was my answer.
Yeah. I do a touching. Oh, I touch
your...
a lot.
E, play with your ear, touch your chin, or smooth your hair. Again, reiterating question three in the Dr. Phil test. When talking to people, you, A, stand with your arms folded. B, have your hands clasped. C, have one or both of your hands on your hips or in your pockets.
When can I interrupt you? Is this everybody
when I'm done giving the answers. D, touch or push the person to whom you were talking.
Al just got shut down.
E, play with your ear, touch your chin, or smooth your hair. Al?
Oh, I was just, because the grading system at the end of this is hard. So if taking, when you get to the point where you grade this for people that are right. listening, mm-hmm. it's going to be tricky.
We'll
I'm figure. Just saying.
We'll get there.
So I'm hoping they go to the website. Maybe we should give it again so they can get the grading on their own.
We're going to put it on our Facebook page. Okay. So if you want to look it up, you can. Yeah. It's a Dr. Phil test. It's been all over Facebook. So maybe it's already stumbled across your path. We're not sure. Question four. Remember, we're going for, there's only 10 questions. So we're almost halfway through. When relaxing, you sit with A, your knees bent with your legs neatly side by side.
I do a number of these things.
This isn't... Just answer the question, Katie.
Just answer the damn question, Claire.
B, your legs crossed. C, your legs stretched out straight. Or D, one leg curled under you. Again, the question is, when relaxing, you sit with A, your knees bent with your legs neatly side by side. B, your legs crossed. C, your legs stretched out or straight. D, one leg curled under you. Mark down your answer in A, B, or C. Question five, the Dr. Phil test. Question five, when something really amuses you, you react with... Girls?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
do you...
Ladies.
Go on.
Do we need
Wait, to, you keep you going. Good? I'm done.
Okay. Question five, when something really amuses you, you react with A, big appreciated laugh, B, a laugh, but not a loud one, C, a quiet chuckle, not to be confused yeah. with the
whole I've never, what's
chortle.
A quiet chuckle sound
what
like?
Does that mean? I don't know. Yeah. D, a sheepish smile. What is that?
So sounds again, like quiet.
Question, right. So, homonyms. Question five, when something really amuses you, you react with A, big appreciated laugh, B, a laugh but not a loud one, C, a quiet chuckle, D, a sheepish smile. Or smile.
Smile.
Number six, you question six smile. Out of 10. When you go to a party or a social gathering, you, A, make a loud entrance so everyone notices you.
Naturally.
B, make a quiet entrance looking around for someone you know. Or C, make the quietest entrance, trying to stay completely unnoticed.
Oh, back up, Barney. Just keep backing up.
I did.
Sorry. Question six out of 10. When you go to a party or social gathering, you, A, make a loud entrance so everyone notices you. B, make a quiet entrance, looking around for someone you know. C, make the quietest of entrances, trying to stay
Why would you do that?
Unnoticed.
I mean, that's no fun. No one would know you were there.
Nobody in the, if anybody in this studio answers that question with quiet as possible,
that's
just,
how
just
I
leave.
Answered.
Just leave.
Isn't that right?
Just leave,
Marnie.
Dirty,
just
rotten,
leave.
Fucking liar.
You're a liar.
Also leave.
Question wow. seven out
hey,
of
it's better than the R word.
Question seven out of 10. It's when true. You are working sure. or concentrating very hard, you are and you're interrupted. You A, welcome the break. B, you feel extremely irritated. C, you vary between the two extremes.
Mm. Again, only if I'm talking about the Oscars.
Yeah. Again, question seven. Unless you're lying on your floor on a pillow.
face down in vomit,
then
I
welcome the...
In your own vomit. Question seven. When you're working or concentrating very hard and you are interrupted, you, A, react welcoming the break. B, you feel extremely irritated. Or C, you vary between the two extremes. Question eight.
Which of the following colors do you like most?
This was a hard one.
I agree. This was a little
like,
bit.
Who has a favorite color?
It was a little.
Oh,
like,
I do.
I do.
We're adulthood.
I do, but but because it gives you a couple of variables, black? It threw me off. So let's go through this. Which again, question eight: which of the following colors do you like most? A is red or orange. B is black. C is a yellow or light blue. D is green. E is dark blue or purple. F is white. G is brown or gray. I'm going to go through the question again. Which of the following colors do you like most? A is red or orange. B is black. C is yellow or light blue. D is green. E is dark blue or purple. F is white. And G is brown or gray. Again, we're doing a Dr. Phil test. It's been available on Facebook, going all the rounds on the social media. We will post it on our Facebook page. We are going to continue on. Wait, is Al already? He's already done his?
He's already.
Okay,
yeah, he's,
good.
Yep.
Question nine. When you are in bed at night in those last few moments before going to sleep.
I love it.
You lie A, stretched out on your back.
Nope.
B, stretched out face down on your stomach. C, on your side, slightly curled. D, with your head on one arm, or E, with your head under the covers.
God, I want to be in bed.
Question nine. In a
your voice and this music right? is just like literally lulling me to sleep.
You're the only person who's ever said my voice was soothing, ever. So question nine out of a series of 10, the Dr. Phil test. When you are in bed at night, in those last few moments before going to sleep, you lie A, stretched out on your back, B, stretched out face down on your stomach, C, on your side, slightly curled, D, with your head on one arm, or E, with your head under the covers. Again, mark your answers next to question nine, A, B, C, D, or E. The final question in the series of 10. Question 10, you often dream that you are A, falling, B, fighting or struggling, C, searching for something or somebody, D, flying or floating, E, you usually have dreamless sleep, or F, your dreams are always very pleasant. Again, question 10 in the series of 10, you often dream that you are A, falling, B, fighting or struggling, C, searching for something or somebody, D, is flying or floating, E, you usually have dreamless sleep, meaning you don't have any dreams at all. F, your dreams are always pleasant dreams. Okay, so now we're going to run through the scoring. So this is going to so pay attention to this scoring for question A. For question A, if you got an A, give yourself 2 points. A B, 4 points. A C, 6 points. Question two. An A is 6 points, a B is 4, a C is 7, a D is 2, and an E is 1. Question 3. An A is 4 points, a B is 2, a C is 5, a D is 7, and an E is 6. Question 4. An A is 4 points, a B is 6, a C is 2, and a D is 1. Question 5. An A is 6. A B is 4, a C is 3, a D is 5, and E is 2. Question 6, if your answer was an A, give yourself 6 points. A B is 4 points, and a C is 2. Question 7, A is 6, B is 2, C is 4. Question 8. This is a long one. Question 8. If you did an A, you get 6. A B is 7. A C is 5. A D is 4. An E is 3. An F is 2. And a G is 1. Question 9. If you answered with an A, you get 7 points. A B is 6. A C is 4. A D is 2. And an E is 1. And for our final question, question 10... If your answer was an A, give yourself 4 points.
A B is 2, a C is 3, a D is 5, an E is 6, and an F is 1 point. So now add up the total of all of your numbers. Come up with a figure on that. You might want to add twice because you might fuck up because it's late in the show and we've been drinking.
Hallelujah.
We've only got a couple minutes left. We're going to go through this quickly. Let's go around the table starting with Al Perkins. What was your number?
I was 41 to 50 points. Others see you as fresh, lively, charming, amusing, practical, and always interesting. Someone who's constantly in the center of attention but sufficiently well-balanced not to let it go to their head. They also see you as kind, considerate, and understanding. Someone who will always cheer them up and help them out. I think that's dead on.
That's exactly what I got. The exact same thing I got from Al. Did you get the same, Marnie?
43.
You got 43.
Oh, it was 44.
You were 44?
Uh-huh. Shit.
Katie.
Now, I did not get the same answer.
And I was at 50. I was at even 50.
Yeah, I was on the cusp as well. I was 51. Okay. So I was on the next up. I wasn't. I was on the next up. So you got to read that one. It's a little bit more like egocentric.
Got it.
Bit more self-centered.
Can you read that or do you want me to?
Oh, wait. So Katie's is, others see you as exciting, highly volatile, and rather impulsive personality, natural leader, one who's quick to make decisions, though not always the right ones.
But I do make them. Thank you.
They see you as bold and adventuresome, someone who will try something or anything once. Someone who takes chances and enjoys an adventure. They enjoy being in your company because of the excitement you radiate. I would
agree.
Give this to age.
Sure. Well, I think to a point, yeah. Sure. Because the snapshot of the test is now. It's not yesterday. It's not future. No. It's now. And because this is a hiring quiz, if I'm not mistaken, based on how they're hiring people.
Oh,
and
wow.
How you're it's an HR quiz. An HR quiz.
And I would, the one that really gave it away to me was the one about entering a party about the age thing.
Oh, God.
Because I would normally, like years ago, have entered a party and been like, blah, I'm here. And now I enter a party and be like, who do I know? Where do I stand? What's the best vantage point?
Al, that's so interesting because I looked at that question as one of the most telling as well. And I think that even still, I looked at it as an event entered recently, like a meeting event. And my sister and I attended together and we didn't enter going, wah, we're here. But we both entered and said, hey, and as soon as we walked in, everyone looked at us. We gave kisses and hugs to every single person. It was an interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
And then in a little while, once you're over 30, you'll be like, I don't need to say hey to you.
Exactly.
33.
And you pick and choose.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
Still there.
Right, yeah. Right.
We'll talk about Katie and this topic in about 6 years when Katie turns 40.
7 years,
what
bitches.
That means
exactly.
For us,
7 years.
So
it's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. I'm here with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. We're here every Tuesday, 7 to 10. Thank you for joining us.
And good night.
Woo! We are coming so close to the end of the show. We're sorry. It's been so brief. Al's going to go to sleep. We're going to wrap up the show by ending it as the way we always do every single week. Thank you for joining us, but we will
see you next Tuesday! Woo!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.